Blog Talk Radio.
It's gonna be a big heartbreaker.
Someone
needs a new pacemaker. And the doctor says, I realize she's ill. But there's talk of legislation on all our medication.
I think we're going to listen to some of the Trump speech. Now, it's not on YouTube, so Brightside must have got kicked off for at least tonight.
We're in New York, and now, I don't know, you left New York. Probably left New York because of crime, and he ends up in Buckhead, right? Congratulations. Great job, Bill. When you cast your vote for Kemp, you're getting into a lot of problems. And Buckhead is just part of it. In this primary, make sure that you also vote yes on the Buckhead City question to let the people decide. It's a big thing. So get out there and vote. And I hear you have tremendous support. You should be successful. Good luck. Your local officials should be fighting and figuring out how to stop the crime and killing rather than going after Republicans. Democrats is, and you know what's going on. It's terrible. All over our country, Democrats have weaponized the criminal justice system against their political opponents. Liberals and radical left racists, they can riot, they can loot, they can set buildings on fire, they can commit all kinds of violent crimes, they can kill people, and nothing happens to them. To this day, many of the criminals who committed terrible violence and held Atlanta captive, you were held captive, with fear in 2020, they've not been held at all accountable. They want to prosecute the victims, not the criminals. With us tonight, the incredible leaders who are going to save your state from this anarchy and betrayal. Your state is in criminal anarchy, okay? Because you have a lousy governor. It's in criminal.
What happened?
Anarchy, starting with our great governor candidate, somebody that is going to do tremendously well in the primary and going to take on Stacey Abrams and going to beat her because, you know, somebody was saying she's not what she was. She was sort of pretty tough at one point 4 years ago. She's lost that luster. Let's see if that's true. But she's not what she was. But then again, who the hell is, right? Who the hell is? I give her credit for that. But David Perdue's going to beat her.
And she's a millionaire.
Brian Kemp won't be able to do it. And as your senator, David, come on up here. As your senator, David, stood up to the radical left with a spine of steel like nobody else. He was one of the fiercest champions for strong, secure borders in the entire Senate, and as Governor David will be tough on crime, he will support our police. He will restore integrity to your elections. He'll crush Stacey Abrams' corrupt political machine. David, say a few words, please. Thank you.
Mr. President, thank you for coming to Georgia again. When I'm governor, we're going to clean this damn mess up, y'all. Thank you for making America first again. Thank you for rebuilding our military. Thank you for giving us the greatest economic turnaround in U.S. history. When we clean this up, we're going to welcome you back in a couple of years, and I hope it's for a much bigger race. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, David. He's going to do a great job. He's going to do well. Republicans, vote for him. He's going to win, and he's going to bring Herschel Walker with him. Likewise, Congressman Jody Heiss is a rock-solid conservative warrior running to defeat Kemp's rhino friend, Brad Raffensperger, who gave us the consent decree. Remember the consent decree? What the hell was that all about? So I want Jody to come up, please. He's a terrific person. You know, he gave up a very safe seat in Congress to do this. And he's doing it because he knows how important it is. And I want to thank him very much. Jody, please.
What an honor it is to be on this stage with a great champion, a warrior, American first fighter, the greatest president in our lifetime. Mr. President, it's an honor to have you in Georgia. And I'm honored to have your endorsements. Thank you so much. Friends, the greatest issue as it relates to our voice influence politics is fair elections. Brad Raffensperger has taken that away from us. Now's the time we got to take it back and give the boot to Brad. I want to thank you for helping us in this election, Mr. President. Thank you so much for your help.
You know, seriously, what this man gave up, he gave up his beautiful, nice, plush, wonderful job at Congress. And he did it for the state, and he really did it for the country, I suspect, even more so. It's such an important job. He's joined, and we're joined next by your lieutenant governor candidate, who should be Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones, as well as your next attorney general, John Gordon. And all of them have my complete and total endorsement. Fellas, come on up, please. Come on up.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Ms. Trump. And I understand that you made a hole-in-one today on golf. The guy's a winner. I was a co-chair for your campaign in 2016, co-chair for your campaign here in the state of Georgia for 2020, and I want to be your co-chair again in 2024 when you run. So leadership matters, and as you can tell, a great leader like President Trump is what matters. I'm so honored to have his endorsement, and so honored to have so many people here tonight. And I'd love to be your next lieutenant governor, and it's going to be up to you, everybody, turning out, and let's turn Georgia back red. Thank y'all very much.
He's doing a great job and had a great father that also loves the state. He's here tonight also. What a job he's done. Come on up, John. Come on up. Come on up here, John. Attorney General, wow. I tell you, you are going to be some attorney general. We need it so badly. We have an attorney general who's missing in action.
Please. Thank you, Mr. President. I am running for attorney general because I love this country. And I've never been more worried about the direction it is headed. This gentleman here was the best president of my lifetime, and I want to defend his honor. You elect me attorney general, I will open an investigation into the 2020 election. We will expose the truth, and we will hold the people responsible.
Well. We're going to hold them responsible. How about just fixing the damn elections so nothing else happens? How about doing that? How about promising that? And then if you run across somebody that cheated, then you do it. Don't, you know, come on.
Yeah, I said last time, you can't kill somebody, you know, 5 years ago and go uncontested about it. If you're caught, like you said, round them up, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't care who they are, round them up, but get it fixed.
Get it done.
Yeah, if it's broke, fix it. That's all.
I'm with you on that.
Hell yeah. Oh,
that is,
man.
That is first and foremost, to get it fixed.
Yeah, that's the main thing. He brought up Bulkhead. Bulkhead is a suburb of Atlanta, which...
Oh, isn't it? Sort of ritzy? Yeah.
Well, yeah, but their crime rate just went through the roof, and now they want to get away from Atlanta and make their own city so they can have their own police and their own attorney general or prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't be under Atlanta. They pay a lot of taxes, and they say they're not getting their money's worth, so they're going to vote on it. I don't know how that's going to come out.
I don't blame them.
No.
If they're not being protected and, you know,
and they're letting, according to them, now I don't know, according to them, they are being, the criminals are being let go, you know, not prosecuted.
Oh, God.
Same thing going on in California, and that's why there's a huge recall. And they already have over 1 million signatures to recall their attorney general. Forgot his name now. I don't know his name. But you can look it up. And they want to recall him because he lets everybody out of prison. And crime rate, I said this before on this show, and I say it again. As soon as it hits the rich people, that's when they'll start doing something. They don't give a damn about the poor people or the middle class people. But if it gets into their neighborhoods, we got to do something. And it's got into their shopping and their neighborhoods and
their little restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. They're walking to their vehicles and they're getting robbed. And the police chief has said, maybe you shouldn't be wearing any expensive jewelry because...
God!
Yeah, instead of us protecting you, because, you know, we can't. You might as well just save your jewelry at home, you know, let the criminals get nothing.
And then when you get home, your house got broke into.
Yeah, about it. In San Francisco, they're leaving, you know, their trunks open and their cars open, so they won't tear everything up getting into the vehicle.
God.
Yeah, they sure are. Yeah, it's pretty bad in these cities, and they want change. But they're the ones that wanted to defund the police.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And they got what they wanted. They got what they wanted, and they're just not working out the way they thought it would.
Mm-hmm. They didn't think it through, did they?
Not at all. I don't think they thought it would get this bad. Nobody did.
Yeah.
Who in the hell would think, you know, you could steal up to $990 worth of things in a store and not get
and walk
busted.
Out.
Yeah, I get busted.
My God,
for it.
Donnie.
Broad daylight, Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday.
Dale, no nothing.
In California, I had a jewelry shop. They busted the window, and this is broad daylight, taking everything in the window, taking Rolexes, taking them. And nobody tried to stop them. Daylight. This is daylight. Traffic. Nobody tried to stop them, and they took off two of them.
When people just sit back and watch this shit, I've got a problem with that.
That's when things happen.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, police do need help, but if they're going to get caught, if you catch them and they let them go. A few hours later, like the like that kid that shot up the school in Texas. I mean, he was out the next day, and they had a party for him for getting out of.
Oh,
he shot four people, five people in the school, and they posted bond. He actually had a bond he could they could get to and raise the money to get. And the guy that shot in the, I think it was in Georgia. I might be wrong. He went into a Democrat, was running for office, and he was in his office. And the guy went in there, started shooting wildly. He didn't hit nobody. Well, he hit the back of that guy's sweater that was running for office. And he was out. The very next, later
How
on.
How does that
next.
Happen?
I don't know.
Shit would never fly down here, man. God almighty.
No. I don't think it would fly here in Michigan.
Uh-uh.
I really don't. I haven't heard of anybody smashing windows. I could be wrong, but I haven't seen any. And they did bust somebody for voter tampering.
Yeah.
And I talked about that last week. But I'm sure there is more, and there's probably more on both sides of the aisle. Don't think the Republican people are not involved, too, somehow.
You know, the only reason we just listened to, you know, that clip you had of Trump or whatever, but the only reason he's endorsing Republicans is they're the lesser of the two evils.
Both Right now.
Right now, yeah.
But we need to get rid of all of them. Mitch McConnell's got to go.
Bad.
Oh, gosh. He definitely got. Yeah. Before anybody, I think he needs to go.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
This guy, you know, they talk about our border being porous, and, you know, that's against the law. That's federal law. And I don't hear but a few. Oh, here. Let me get. Is that Joe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello.
Joe Gonzalez.
Hello.
Hello, Joe Gonzalez.
You know, Joe Gonzalez.
Yes.
How you doing, buddy?
It is a pleasant trip across the border. It
is so beautiful.
Oh, my God. You Americans should take a trip down here.
Let me get Adrian, is that you?
Yes. Good evening, everyone.
Good.
Hello there. How are you, Adrian?
Hey, I'm hanging in here. How about everybody? How are you doing, Daniel?
Doing good.
All right.
Let me get Bianchi on. Bianchi, I miss you.
Hey, gang. How you doing?
Oh,
hey,
hello there, Bianchi.
You know, I noticed that I had to check myself, but when I travel now, I'm staring at the sky.
Oh, Lord.
I ain't got nothing to do with it.
No.
I wonder where that come from, Donnie.
Hold on. Now I got something. It's 34 seconds. A UFO spacecraft caught on camera flying over Las Vegas, Nevada.
Huh.
Today.
The gambler?
Last night. What was that? Damn. That's too big to be a shooting star.
I will put my spaceship up for $10,000.
Oh, I thought you could hear something, but wow. And
hey, you know, I was listening to you guys when I was waiting, and I was taking notes because my memory is almost as bad as
Don't say it.
As
sleep,
what is
sleep, darling. Sleep, darling.
Well, you know, you were talking about the crime rate spike, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about the carjacking of the 73-year-old?
No.
73-year-old grandma gets into a car. Bunch of
carjacking.
Wait a minute, Joe. Wait a minute. Just 1 second. Would you use some adjectives to describe the suspects?
I'm not going to go into the racial shit. That's your thing. I'm just going to say that.
That's why come we in the mess we in now.
No, we're in the mess we're in now because you're doing the race baiting shit. Let me finish
my story. I'm not doing no race bait. I like to put some color to my imagination.
Oh, you
go ahead.
Your color thing. God, Jesus.
I'll have my turn.
You are Al Sharpton Jr. Jesus. Right.
That's awful. I would never
that. He's definitely not that.
Jesus Christ. Well, in any case, the carjacking is about the 73-year-old woman. So what I wanted to get to is not the racial component of it, but there was three broads who are like 15 and 14 in it. They robbed the car, and they killed the woman accidentally.
Oh, God.
Now, you talk about crime rates. And, Donnie, you were talking about, I forget exactly, but I made a note about something similar to it. Oh, yeah, about the $900 limit now?
Yeah.
Do you know that in some cities the DAs are recommending that you carry extra money so that you satisfy the muggers so that they don't kill you?
Damn.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Isn't that
the oh, my God.
I haven't heard that one. Wow.
Yeah, that was from last year. That was when Black Lives Matter, a little bit after the Summer of Love.
Oh, yeah. In Seattle, yeah.
And you were talking about the $900 limit, and nobody was stopping the looting of the more affluent stores. Did you see any pictures of people going into like Duane Reade and Walgreens and the chain stores? They're going in there on bikes with the masks on.
Yeah.
And they're just robbing the place, and they're just bicycling out.
Yeah, they got garbage bags. Big black garbage bags, and they're filling them up. And nobody's
long leaf bags.
Yeah. Oh, they're huge.
Yeah, and these limits, about $900 or $1,500, depending upon how large the city is, that's per crime. That's not cumulative. So you can actually do four or five crime stops in a day, and if they catch you with one, They don't bother about the rest because it's only about the one.
Yeah. That is crazy. Oh, my God. I've heard it all, man. I'm telling
you.
Something
I didn't write down, but I better say it now. I read in Daily Mail, like in L.A., they have what's called criminal tourists, people from out of the United States coming to the United States to rob us because the laws are that lax.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's what we've come to. That's what it's come to.
Isn't that something? They come here. You know, their idea of vacation is, let's go to America, let's take some shit, spend it on the in America, and then come back home.
Or just stay over here and steal shit all the time.
Steal more shit.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, I'm finished, Bianchi. Bring in your Al Sharpton shit.
Well, let me say this. It's good to know who it is that you're looking for, because if you don't, you walk right into a trap. And it's also good to know what area you're talking about. Well, this is in New Orleans, where they have a preponderance of this type of activity that's going on. And then, if you know that, you would have to ask the question, why? It's gotten so bad that people don't stop at the stop sign because they're feared of being mugged and carjacked. And the population of New Orleans, not everybody, but the preponderance that's committing these crimes are black. And that should be known, because then you can better centralize and isolate, well, what's causing this? And that is up for a whole nother discussion. But the only one. You had another. Wait a minute. Don't be coming to me with your Billy Graham stuff now.
Bada boom.
And that is the only one. Yeah, one before that about a couple of weeks ago where another woman, a white woman, was holding on to a car trying to prevent it from being carjacked after she was pumping gas. And she got drugged, but fortunately she let go, but laid there on the pavement. Nobody was coming to help her but this one doctor who's an Indian doctor that's living in New Orleans. And I'm going to say living, not living now, because she said in the conversation, the interview with her, that they moving. But she went to help. It was raining. She covered the lady up with a coat. It took a long time for the ambulance to come or the EMT to come. But the thing is, there's a car behind her waiting in line to get gas, and that driver shouted out, could you please move your car so I can get some gas?
That is a problem. I've got a problem with that. It just, oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
oh, my God.
And I don't know if that was a black driver that asked that or a white driver, really. But It will just show you the insensitivity that exists within society in the United States today.
Well, I don't think it's insensitivity as much as worried about your ass.
Yeah, but you can be worried about your ass and still be worried about other people too, you know.
Well, yeah, but you can't jump into everything. Because when you
not
do
everything.
That,
you got to pick your battles, yeah.
Yeah, right. Because I've told the stories before on the show. You know, I've intervened in 5 different fights. One of them I knew. The other 4 I didn't know. And I consider myself very lucky. Because I'm not intervening in any street fights, club fights anymore.
Yeah, I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
Way too old for that.
Oh, and by the way, you know, Bianchi, you didn't make the ending statement about, well, the only thing dumber than dumb blacks are dumb whites. Don't forget that.
Y'all are crazy.
Well, you know, he's right. He's not there. When you're right, you're right.
Well, you're a race baiter. You want more division between blacks and whites.
He's equal opportunity.
He sure is.
Well,
oh, by the way, how's Cinnamon doing, Don?
Well, she's doing all right.
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay. If we don't hear from her tonight, can you tell her, you know, we all say, you know, we're asking about her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Well, you know me, I'm sick and tired of this first black that, goddamn. First black on Mars, first black to get the top of a mountain on moon.
Well, you know,
I'm getting sick and tired of this first black, all this stuff. I was the first black steel director in St. Louis, sir. Nobody made me first black. Why? Because I'm conservative. That's the way it works. Mm-hmm. You know, Joe Biden, President Bush Jr., making a nomination to another black woman to be a Supreme Court justice back in 2003, I think it was. Her name was Janice Rogers Brown. Woman highly qualified and competent. But you know why Biden spoke out against her?
Oh, yeah.
Biden spoke out against her.
Yes, he did.
He's racist.
But he's a racist.
He's all of that, yes, but because she was conservative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fact.
So the divide exists. The divide exists amongst whites, Italians, no matter who you are, the divide is existing. And now you're starting to see the divide come out amongst those that they call quote-unquote black, because half of them don't like being called black. They like being called something else. And that's good, see that divide, because it's a true reflection of what you have, the sentiment, logical thinking, ideology, and all those things. I'm going to say this, too, Daniel. If you take a picture of a UFO and it's real good, you should make that into an NFT, non-fungal token, and you could probably get millions of dollars for it.
A non-fungal token?
Yeah, they call it N as in Nelly, F as in Fox, T as in Tango.
Huh. I ain't never heard of that.
Write it down.
Write it down.
Now you know.
For real. UFO.
The sex offender that was sentenced to 3 months in prison, Titangi, is that how you pronounce your first name? Brown Jackson, for his 3-month sentence.
Yeah, didn't he get like 29 months or something, and she broke it down to 3, gave him 3?
No, the prosecutor wanted 2 years. The federal guidelines was 8 to 10, but the prosecutor said 2, but she said 3 months. I don't know the case. I just know that's all they brought up pretty much is the Jackson case. That Jackson case.
What she told Ted Cruz was he asked her why she only gave 3 months. She said at the time she said pedophile laws were fairly new. And she said, you know, we didn't have a lot to go on as far as precedent or anything like that. That's the reason she gave, and said pedophile laws were new, which is untrue. That's why she said she agreed with the 3 months.
Too. Something about the computers. It wasn't computers at the time. I don't know. I really
talk about Law Bianchi. Wasn't Joe Brown the show interesting as hell this week?
Joe Brown was a sitting judge, yes. Anything he says regarding his experience from coming from that arena is very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of experience.
Yeah, but see, this particular thing, I bet you guys never heard this, because I didn't hear it until I was on the show this week. You know how judges want to take a sentence and make it higher? Judge Brown, he comes across lawyers who defend, let's say, scum, right? But if the lawyers don't give the scum adequate defense and the defendant agrees to a plea bargain, Judge Brown will say, no, you can't, you've got to give this man a good representation. You go back to the drawing board. Because if you take the plea, like sometimes they will actually take a plea that will offer a plea that's worse than the original plea that the prosecution's offered at the very beginning. So then Judge Brown's big bugaboo is, you know, why are you paying this lawyer to shaft you?
Yeah.
You know, if you're
going to
take,
you are supposed to get representation.
Right.
If
you're
going
to take 5 years at the beginning, take 5 years, but don't take 10 years now and then pay the lawyer to give you, you know, to shove it up your ass.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that does bring up some interesting perspective with public defenders that people say you don't get very good representation from them, but they freak. What do you say?
Yeah,
free.
But see, that's the but Judge Brown went into that very, very well. He said you can probably get better representation from public defenders than you can from your lawyers, because the public defenders are funded by the state. They have a lot of resources. They have research teams, and they, you know, a lot of them are more motivated than people think. As a matter of fact,
a lot of them are young and they're on their own. And they want to be on their own, but they want a reputation.
Yeah.
The only way to get one is to be a fighter in court.
Yeah, go before the court. I've had good defenders in my past.
Have you?
Yes.
So that buttresses what he said. He mentioned one guy in particular that worked for him. He had 54 criminal cases. He won 51 of them.
Wow.
That's
a pretty good
rate. Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, I got a lesson this week on the show.
Wow. I enjoy Judge Joe Brown. And he'll tell you about Martin Luther King's murder, too.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, he does. He played a part in the investigation.
Oh, he did?
Doing the forensics on the weapons, I think.
Yeah. Doesn't he go into the what was the people they had on the firehouse that was across the street?
Yeah, he goes into the direction where the bullet came from, I think. It couldn't have come from where they said it come.
No. Definitely.
Well, that's a museum now. You can go there and see yourself. You can go in. You can't go in the room where he stayed, but the arrangement of the furniture and bed covers is pretty much the same. There's a white line that goes from the balcony down to the ground, across the street on the ground, and up to the building where they say the window on the building where they say he's shot from.
Yeah.
Does Judge Brown go into? I'm not sure if I was there one time when he was talking about Jesse Jackson. Did he go into where Jesse Jackson said the shot came from over there and he was wrong?
I don't know. I think
not a fan of Jesse Jackson.
Matter of fact, the car that was sitting on the front, sitting there on the parking lot, they all still there.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And they had a meeting. All of Martin Luther King's folks that were with him had a meeting that none of them were going to talk to the press, not anybody. By the way, Jesse Jackson ran downstairs. He was mobbed by reporters, and he just couldn't shut up. He was right there.
He might have been involved in it. You never know.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Let's hope not. Yes.
Can you believe Jesse Jackson was actually thought of as a presidential candidate or a hopeful?
He ran a couple times, hadn't he?
No, I don't think he ran. He might have, Daniel. But when he gave a keynote speech at, I think, the DMC, or the, may have been the RNC, a long time ago, and he, you know, that was like when Obama did it too. Usually, if you do these keynote speeches, you're usually thought of as the next bright light,
up and coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I am.
Well, that's particularly just based on skin color. And popularity. It is based on skin color.
I don't know.
Going
Obama
back to black first.
What about them asking that Jackson Brown or whatnot about the definition of a woman?
Oh,
what do y'all think about
isn't that?
That
beautiful.
Oh, I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
I didn't
know. She didn't know anything about the Dred Scott case.
No.
She
didn't know about.
I mean, she just wanted a Merriam-Webster definition. Give me a definition of a woman. That's all she wanted. She couldn't do it.
And she sits on that school board, which is part of Georgetown. And one of the textbooks for the kindergarten is titled, and I think I sent you a picture, Donnie.
Oh, yeah.
Anti-racist babies. Got a black baby on there. Cover.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was reading an article about biologists don't even know what women are now.
they're damn afraid of saying.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
A woman.
As a doctor or biologist, you don't know what a freaking woman is by now.
They ought to pull all your credentials, everything.
I was shocked, and I seen there was the Tennessee senator that asked. She jerked her head. What?
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, she couldn't even tap dance that well around the question. She was just befuddled.
She just came out and said no, and then I think she realized she made a big mistake, and then she, not in the context, and then she was interrupted. Not in the context. What do you mean? Please tell me more.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing. People say she's qualified. Well, she might be. You don't have to be a lawyer to be a judge, by the way.
No, you don't.
I mean, Daniel can be a judge.
Yeah.
But is she competent? And I don't think she is. Now, that's me. I don't think she's competent to be a Supreme Court justice. Qualified, yes. Like Janice Roger Brown was qualified. Mm-hmm. But the competence level that they put on her, well, should you have not the right to put the same type on this woman here also? And
sure.
If that's so, her competence level, as it would set for many in this country, large groups, is just not there.
Yeah.
You know, when you have these ratifications, these meetings, and these public theater exposés, it just shows me that we really don't have checks and balances. Because if you're going to have an effective checks and balance, you're supposed to have no conflict of interest. But when you
right.
have senators and congressmen voting on judges to go into the Supreme Court, and they're only from two parties, Democrats and Republicans, you have to have conflicts of interest. So I don't see how, you know, there's no, you know, the checks and balances that they've set up is supposed to be effective, especially when you get on the court people who seem to be against the United States.
Yeah.
Well, when you talk about conflict of interest, that should apply across the board. Like they're talking about impeaching Clarence Thomas for opinions his wife had. But wait a minute. There was a case not too long ago called Obergefell, I believe, I'm not sure, versus the United States. And it was a court case that brought about same-sex marriage. And it passed by a 5-4 decision of the court. Ginsburg and Kagan was on the majority side. Well, hang on. Ginsburg and Kagan both have performed same-sex marriage at time or two. So should they not have recused themselves?
Conflict of interest.
I mean, come on now.
It makes sense. That's perfect sense.
They should have not even ruled on that. Here they're trying to say Thomas shouldn't rule on certain cases because his wife has made comments about him. My goodness, how is he going to control his wife? And he's not supposed to be controlling his wife. She got just as much opinion as he
do.
Yeah,
freedom of speech.
Else.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
much
with this lady, Jackson Brown, I would have asked, do you think that the Lovins versus Virginia, where the Supreme Court legalized interracial marriage, do you think that the Supreme Court was overstepping its bounds? Marriage is left up to the states according to the U.S. Constitution. Read it. But you know why come I would have asked her that? Simple. Because she's married to a white man. I wonder what she would have said and posed that question, Donnie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't guess anymore.
But she don't know what she is. She's a woman.
Maybe.
She don't know what she is.
Yeah.
You'll say maybe.
Got a kickstand.
Yeah. You know, the thing about the homosexual marriages, I was always waiting for them to become legalized. So that, because they always had this this Disneyland dream about what marriage would be like. And I said, okay, wait till your asses get married and see how you like it.
That's right. I go be miserable as the rest of us.
That's right. See about custody battles and alimony and palimony and all of that good stuff, and see how that all that glorification just goes right out the window when you're involved in it, and your little lovely Mr. or Ms. Doesn't love you anymore. See what happens.
Businesses.
I'm in love with Steve.
That's right.
I love Steve.
Yeah, nobody was, big business didn't want it. If they offered Blue Cross, Blue Shield, something like that, some kind of insurance, they didn't want people
didn't
to
want
be able to marry. You know, they didn't want to have to pay for extra insurance. And until it got changed, till everything changed, and all of a sudden they're on board. General Motors, oh, yeah, we don't
yeah.
care.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. No, it's going to cost you.
It's going to cost your ass.
And then they're going to take it out on the rank and file.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. Oh, by the way, this week, the border section in Texas should be completed. And where would that? Somewhere. Eagle Pass, Texas. Should be finished this week. You can hear they're checking it out right now. And
is Abbott getting the props for it? Who's getting the props for it? Who's doing it? Who's or whatever?
It's Texas. Texas is okay. Doing the state of Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
The Texans.
And,
I forgot all about it. Yeah. Abbott is going to pay for it, right?
The stuff is already paid for. They just stopped putting it up because of Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know what took them 2 years to do this. They've been wanting this thing.
Yeah.
And the fence was laying there. It's been laying there for a month since Trump was president.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they'd asked me, I would have not worked on it for nothing just to see it get done.
Might have gone
my spare time.
I'd like to know what happened to the people that they were funding people to put up the fence. Why didn't they put it up?
They probably pulled a contract.
Yeah.
Eventually would have cost more.
You know, it wasn't the government. This was private sector was funding. They were sending money into, I forgot the name of the damn outlet, but Bannon was part of it at one time. He did a money raiser down there on the radio. And,
he's become a pretty big name.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's always had a big name, though, when he was with Breitbart. He was a...
Oh, Bannon? Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway...
Well, he fell out of favor when Trump said, get lost.
Well, there was some kind of fight going on.
Yeah, something happened.
And he had to go. I don't know what it was. I've forgotten now. I read it years ago.
You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell up out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. Many people were... Cernovich, he was involved, and Bannon was leaking to him. And Cernovich was putting stuff out on the Internet. It could only come from Steve Bannon.
Yeah, and he's been trying to weasel his way back in ever since.
Pretty much.
I would never trust him again.
No, I wouldn't either. I don't think Trump is. Not that I know of, anyway.
Man, they were supposed to be good friends.
Mm-hmm. You only screw him over. Too many folks screwed him over.
Yeah.
Too many folks.
Yeah. He don't even forgive anymore. You get one chance. That's it.
Whatever happened to Cohen? He's the guy that's supposed to have known all about the inner workings of Trump's business deals. And
he went to prison, and then they let him out because of COVID. And that's the last I heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
And then there was Manafort.
Manafort's out. Trump pardoned him.
And then they tried to get a hold of Flynn, but Sidney did a good job.
Well, there was Trump that got him out, too. Sidney
did he pardon him or commute him?
I think he
commuted
him. He pardoned him?
Was it a pardon?
He pardoned him.
Okay.
He commuted Kwame Kilpatrick.
Okay. Yeah.
He pardoned Jack Johnson. I think he might have pardoned Marcus Garvey. I'm not sure. Trump done a lot of things that nobody talks about.
Yeah, he did.
You're not
that
will
be pleased to that segment of the population. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that one lady, he let her out. He was in there for I don't know how long. She's been in there. It was Kwame and his wife went to bat for her, and Trump got her out of there, got out of prison, and she and her family. Oh my goodness, that was awesome to see. It really was. Over some drug charge, she got 30 years or something. She'd have been in there for life.
Over something you don't even, it's a misdemeanor now. See, that's the problem. You know,
yeah,
laws have changed and stuff. They have to go back and revisit these cases.
I think they should, yeah. I believe they should.
Mm-hmm.
Is Assange for or against extradition to the United States?
He was against.
He didn't want to come back to the United States?
No.
No?
No. No. He didn't want to come back at all.
Wasn't there a rumor that if he did come back that it was possible that Trump would have pardoned him?
No, that I don't know. I think Trump was warned not to pardon him, or I think that was why Trump stayed silent on him. Silent. I think that was the deal that the Republicans made him, like Mitch McConnell, with these impeachments. I don't know. It just all of a sudden he stopped talking about it. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How long has McConnell been in office?
What's that?
How long has the turtle been in office?
200 years, something.
He must have been doing something good to people keep voting him in.
If they were fair elections.
And Danny's right on about that.
Yep.
That's what they're saying about the recent primary elections in Texas. Same bull crap happened in 2020. Went on with state local elections in Texas. Some people pull up in a truck with a name on it, and they grab machines. Won't answer no questions. I would have shot their ass.
Since 1985, so what is that? 85, 95, 2005, 2015.
37 years.
God.
37 years for what?
That's how long he's been in the
held
office. Mm-hmm. God almighty.
Yeah. Too long. I was hoping
elected
he'd
to the U.S. Senate in 84.
Jeez.
So 38. Got it.
Oh,
getting worse.
Damn.
And then you take a look at their other family ties. If they're not tied to K Street, they're tied to the mainstream media in some way, like their wives are correspondents for ABC or NBC or something like that.
His wife is a daughter of a shipping tycoon in China. Now, Daniel, does it say how long McConnell was married to this woman? Xiaoming or whatever her damn name is.
Mm-hmm.
Xiaoming.
It's supposed to be a pretty big outfit, too, that company or whatever.
Yeah. It's
I mean, maybe the biggest, I don't know.
You get the United States backing you, too. It's pretty damn big.
Damn, that's crazy.
I'd like to find a lot of these people on trafficking, because if that's the case, if that can be exposed, I'm hoping the American people will get outraged enough to say, you know, we got to vote these people out today. We got to have petitions, recalls, everything. But I don't know if Americans, you know, are that incensed anymore.
They don't even talk about it. Congress doesn't even talk about it.
Well, the trafficking?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're not going to point fingers at each other.
No, but I mean, they don't. Right. I mean, they don't even bring it up. You know, they don't have to blame themselves, but they don't even bring it up as normal people.
Yeah, but if they do that, there's going to be investigations, which will lead back to them.
Well, a lot of them, I'm sure. I would guess a lot of them.
And Hollywood, too.
Mm-hmm.
I would think more. Well, I was about to say I would think more in Hollywood, but it's probably even Stevens. I mean, if you're hungry for power and they're dangling some young kid in front of you, mm-hmm. you know, the weak and the greedy are going to go for it.
Yeah.
Now, you guys got to watch a documentary called Planet Lockdown.
What,
Planet
what's it got going?
It's about the pandemic.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry, Daniel.
Yeah.
Dan thought it was something about Jupiter.
Mm. Well, yeah. He probably did. Uh-oh. Hang on.
Thank you, John. Wow. That's what we need. Also with us is the man who's going to end Chuck Schumer's brief and failed tenure as majority leader. The next United States Senator from Georgia, my good friend, and what an athlete he is. But what? Everything is. Herschel Walker has got everything, and we love Herschel. Come up, Herschel.
He was a hell of a running back.
Well, yes, I want to just say that God is good. Yeah. And because of President Trump, Herschel Walker is going to be your senator come November. So thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, guys. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Jordan Free.
So we're joined as well, and I could say, get up here real quick. It's a little on the call.
Okay. He's Georgia. It just got over. I was just playing. Snippet.
Herschel.
Yeah, Herschel. And Dr. Oz and Herschel got kicked off of Biden's, what is it, the sports, the medicine, whatever the hell it's called. Because Trump appointed them to it, and they're both running for Congress, or one the Senate and the other, I think both the Senate. Not sure. Dr. Oz is running, and so is Herschel, and Biden wants them both to resign, and they, by 6 o'clock yesterday, and they neither one to resign. And
Biden's sticking his stupid nose in everybody's business for him.
Well, yeah, this is about sports and medicine and things like that, and I don't understand, you know, high school.
Even the Ukraine, what the hell is he doing trying to flame the
boy, didn't he? And boy, did the White House walk that crap back real quick. What the hell is he trying to do, get us into a...
Yeah.
World War III. Jesus, Biden, dumbass.
What did he say? I missed it, I guess.
How in the hell do you miss that? Well
I don't know. What did he say?
One thing about no fly zone, and it was something else.
Well, he was talking.
Yeah, he wants to.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, isn't it that he agrees there should be a no fly zone, but he's not willing to put Americans or whatever in harm's way, which I agree with that.
Not quite. He demanded, pretty much demanded that Biden get thrown out of office, which is stupid as hell. And if they use nukes, all will be right there with nukes. You don't tell people what we're going to do, Mr.
President. Hell no.
Especially when
I think Nigeria is about ready to go to Russia and help the Russians send soldiers. That would be something, wouldn't it? Putin has been very, very generous to African countries. Very generous. Even to the point where he was on the ground fighting with Zimbabweans and Mozambique against Western recolonization.
Yeah, you sent me an email about that.
Castro was too. But how least we forget, or should I say that we being those that we know who they are, want to demonize the man and kick him under the bus. I have said constantly that what we're seeing, the results of something going on in Ukraine, that is highly disturbing to Russia. And they got a right to figure it out. Surely after you're talking about biological labs, then they want to place Western armaments in the form of missiles that can reach all away the Moscow capital. I would be very concerned also.
Well,
the U.S. was during the Bay of Pigs.
Damn right.
In Cuba.
Same damn thing, yeah.
Yep. And we took ours out of Castro. Castro, not Castro. Khrushchev.
Khrushchev was Kremlin, by the way. No, he wasn't Kremlin. He was Ukrainian. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But
he took them out of Cuba, and we took them out of Turkey.
Yeah.
And
that's fair enough. That's a fair trade.
And but do you think Putin was going to let NATO go into or have Ukraine join NATO? Hell no. That wasn't going to happen. That
doesn't make any sense.
No.
And they've been having a war for 8 years, and the United States has been funding the Ukraine, giving them weapons and funding them. So again, even before Biden got in there, you know, United States sticks its nose in everybody's business.
Well, we did, but there, you know, if this is true, what we're seeing, and there's people saying it's not true, and there's people saying it's true. I believe it's true. They're killing, they're blasting hospitals and everything else. I think that's, you know, come on.
I heard they were showing footage from years ago and trying to make people believe it was current destruction now.
Well,
right.
That whole city looks like it's been leveled. Now, I don't know. I don't know. If that's from what year that would have been, but it looks,
and you know,
like,
that's just it. We don't know, and we can't trust anybody's media to tell us the effing truth.
That's right.
Wow.
I'm with Daniel and Catherine on this.
There is the problem.
I don't recall when Ukraine was destroyed like that, or Kyiv.
Well, you think that the renazification problem in Ukraine is real?
The what problem?
Yeah.
Nazis. The uprising.
Yeah.
You still got elements that's left over.
Yeah.
World War II. That's real and informing in the Ukraine. So Putin would be trying to get rid of that. You know that Russians went through a whole lot of stuff in World War II. And they're allowed to have post-traumatic World War II syndrome, just as they say blacks have post-traumatic slave syndrome for stuff that happened back in the 1500s.
Yeah. You're right.
And I would be suspect of anything that looks threatening to my borders if I was them. I think he had a right to go down and make sure that they had access to the Black Sea where their naval contingent lies, because you know the United States would have tried to put NATO in the Crimea.
Yeah. And then those two provinces or eastern provinces or whatever, they've been fighting these neo-Nazis that you're talking about since 2014, I believe.
Yeah. Well, the shelling of just like you have with the Palestinians shooting Scud missiles into Israel.
Exactly. So nobody wants to talk about the people that are fighting against the Nazis in eastern Ukraine. They're looked at as bad people. And all, you know, they're fighting the freaking neo-Nazis.
And the news media is not going to let that come out.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm going to tell you guys, we are facing with some very, very treacherous time, and it's popping up all over the place. Whether it's in your damn library with your children, or your school board meetings, or with these damn vaccinations,
elections,
shutdowns.
Do you have any idea why that might be happening?
I think they're trying to destroy the United States, Adrian.
We constantly talk about these things here in our household and with our children. I want to tell you all something because I thought it was real funny, right? Yesterday was the first time I'd been out of the house in 3 months.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
Did the sunshine feel good?
It's so good to be out there, but I was real happy to come back home.
Get back in. I know that's right.
Because right now in the world, it's just so much negativity. We know that something is happening.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot necessarily put our finger on it. But all of this dissension, all around the world.
Yeah.
Who's creating it? Well, I'll tell you, it's that 1%.
The elite.
Yep.
Yep.
And then,
if you
get rid of us, what the hell you going to do? Because that money ain't going to do you no good. Because you don't have nobody to make more of it for you. Or are you trying to make it so that we have to work for free? Because I'm looking at government control, total control.
Yeah.
Over things.
Yeah.
Things are moving in a crazy type of way. You know, like these electric vehicles. How the hell are you producing so many electric vehicles and you don't have a power grid structure that's right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so here's the next thing. So you get these vehicles out there. You don't have the infrastructure. Boom. Now we have no power. None of us. What happens to your finance institutions?
Ooh.
What happened to your water, the basic necessity that you need to have?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't
with
like
no
to
power.
Talk about this. Yeah, I don't like to talk about it outright because sometimes I say, oh, you know, people think I'm a little crazy. But it's like, open up your eyes and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
The pandemic.
Yeah.
I ain't even trust the pandemic.
No.
I think this is something that they created. It's like a biochemical weapon. They created it, but it went a little haywire.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, I mean, now we've got a new strand, BA2.
Oh, yeah.
Lambda didn't go over like they wanted it to go over.
I don't think the Omicron did either, did it?
Well, the Omicron, it
did. Or
did
they make a little money off of it?
I think it did what it was supposed to so that they could bring another strand in.
Yeah.
But that Lambda strand didn't take like they thought. It's just, like I say, it's just kind of crazy.
what you're looking at. It's, I don't know.
You're going to have to look up Planet Lockdown. You will like that documentary. It's
okay.
It's an hour and 52 minutes, and it's worth watching. And there's doctors, and they think pretty much we are locked down just to see if they could lock us down. And these are doctors.
What we need.
And these are doctors that we're told that if you come in with whatever and you died with coronavirus, you had it, and you're going to put it on the death certificate. They were told to do this. And,
yeah, because I've been trying to figure out what is this review. You know, they'll tell you so many people died, and then they'll say, oh, this many came from a review. A review of what? When you died, it was put on the death certificate. What the hell you mean you reviewed it?
Right.
It wasn't homicide. So what the hell going on?
This family's in New York are fighting to get coronavirus taken off of their loved one's death certificate.
Because they don't feel like they died of corona.
Well, like I said, the lady had her third heart attack and died. Coronavirus is on her death certificate, and her family's fighting like hell to get that off. A lady had stage 4 cancer, died, but she had coronavirus when she died, they said. And I guess that pushed her over the edge, although they only gave her 4 months to live, and she lived only 2 months.
Okay, well, that's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But here's the other thing. The insurance companies, okay? The life insurance companies.
They're the ones raising too.
Yeah, they don't have to pay the full amount, is my understanding, if it's listed as you died of COVID. So
right,
if you died of a heart attack, they got to pay the full amount.
Mm-hmm.
But if it says COVID, I'm told that it's prorated.
Mm-hmm. Somebody told me if COVID gets you $9,000 on a burial deal. You just get $9,000 from the federal government.
I never heard that.
I don't believe that either.
I'll have to ask her. The woman just died a couple days ago, so we'll find out.
No, I don't do that.
Well, if you go maybe through a social services department or something, maybe that's how you get $9,000.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd be broke.
Yeah,
you know,
it was something like that, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
With the people dying that they're putting down is COVID-related, this country be broke faster than it's going broke now. Can you imagine how many people die in this country and they're sticking COVID on there? This death certificate. Hospitals get paid more money.
All right.
I've heard that, yeah.
And you think... Yeah, well, that was true. That part's true. And then if you're paying somebody, some family $9,000 for burial, come on. I just can't believe that.
Well, if you think about all the commercials that come on TV about life insurance, it costs you $10,000 or more to bury somebody.
Yeah, you can burn them up for
$1,400. Yeah. No, you can't burn nobody here for $1,400.
Cremations
is high too now. Cremations used to be reasonable.
Yeah, price of
they're over $5,000.
Just like
here in this state.
Just like diesel used to be the cheapest out of gasoline, right?
That's
how people started buying diesel trucks, and then all of a sudden diesel now is with those big gas tanks that are on our trucks. And now diesel costs more money than regular gasoline. See, that's how. So more people are wanting to get cremated. Well, we're raising the price. And now the price of natural gas has went up to start those big furnaces. Well, no telling what they charge now.
All right.
Lord. Crematoriums.
Usually people went the route of cremation because, you know, they didn't necessarily have the money for the burial, funeral home expense.
That's right.
The plots went up. You know, you got to pay for opening the plot, and you got to pay for closing the plot.
That's
Jesus Christ. So people, you know, they may have had a small insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to afford cremation. Now, you got to have a policy, at least a $10,000 policy.
That's why they don't raise the price. I had my wife cremated, and I looked on the bill. They had a line item, graveside service. I said, well, you owe me back for this, don't you?
Right.
Graveside service?
Yeah, mm-hmm. How they do that one, Bianchi?
They tried to.
Damn.
Man,
that's important to look at those bills. Very important.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, our thing is that we want to be cremated, but the reason being, for me especially, I always think in terms of if I have any kind of a disease, a germ, bacteria, virus, whatever, cremate my ass.
Yeah.
Because why would you put that in the soil? I don't care that you say you're in a vaulted casket. I don't care. Eventually, you know, everything disintegrates. Go ahead, burn my ass. And so,
well, I don't want nobody
digging
me up that way. Performing scientific stuff on me later.
Everybody's talking about organic and natural.
Oh, yeah. Trees and all of that.
Don't go back to the ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to get the dust quicker, that's all.
That's all. Mm-hmm.
How about that poor lady that was visiting her son's grave in Killeen, Texas? Somebody drove by and killed her, shot her.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What in the hell?
Yeah. Last
and
season.
Yet still, the Democrats was coming to get your guns, huh?
Yeah.
And they ain't took them suckers away yet.
That lady that got drugged, she should have had a gun. Could have solved that real quick.
Well,
wouldn't have shot the person. She probably would have shot somebody innocent.
She couldn't have got to her damn purse, Opiana.
Exactly. Or she wouldn't have had sense enough to just put her hand in there and shoot.
First of all, if you're being dragged, you're not thinking too much if you can let go.
Right.
So you better let go, folks, if you're getting drugged.
Let them have a damn car. That's something material.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always look at material things can be replaced.
Yeah. Now,
but, life can't.
Your life can't. Did you hear what Ron Perlman said about Tom Cotton?
No.
Oh, the actor, Ron Perlman. Here it goes.
Tom Cotton. That can't really be your name, can it? What is that? Product your unpaid employees pick for you? For profit? You fucking white slaver. Piece of shit.
What?
That line of questioning you pulled on that incredibly beautiful woman yesterday. Your staff is probably cowering as you read those statistics that they, under duress, put together for you, unless they're a bunch of white fucking slavers, too, which is probably the case. Who else would work for you, you piece of shit? play back your line of questioning and tell me that wasn't the most racist thing I've seen since Jefferson fucking Davis. Fuck you.
Damn. What's his problem?
Tom Cotton talked to the judge, you know, asked the questions to the judge. He didn't like it.
Isn't he from the Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah.
He's
definitely the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the only part he could get with that face.
Yeah, they didn't have to do much of a makeup job on
him. No. Then he tells Cruz. He tells Ted Cruz to go fuck himself, too, by the way. He didn't like how Ted Cruz, questioned her either. So
I didn't like Lindsey Graham.
Oh, Lindsey Graham. Well,
and that's why I wouldn't watch it no more after that.
Lindsey Graham was talking about what was said by the Democrats in the last the female Comey, what's her name?
Amy.
Amy Comey Barrett, thank you.
Yeah.
And being a Catholic, mm-hmm. They went crazy. The Democrats really jumped on her ass about that. The other guy, they want to know about drinking beer when he was in high school or having sex in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they went completely nuts on this guy. Everybody went nuts. They brought people in. The witnesses said wasn't telling the truth. Their own witnesses said, I don't recall that at all. And
I don't have a problem with anyone asking a question.
But that's what he was talking
about. The problem was he would not let her complete her answers before he would start on something else. And he never would let her complete her answers. That's the problem I have.
Yeah.
He was
that's the way Maxine Waters done people she was interviewing.
Well, two wrongs.
However it goes,
yeah,
if you ask a question, I don't care who you are, you should allow the person to answer the question in its entirety.
But I think the point he was trying to make, and you might not have probably won't agree with me, he was going on all the questions that they were asked, and then he came on, and then he said, but we don't do that. We're not doing that. And
okay.
And you might have turned it off too quick, but you're right. It did sound like he was asking her questions, no question about it. And he kept interrupting her and going to something else. But then he got a little up, you know, he said that's what the Democrats did, that someone on this committee did the last three times last two times.
Then they say that the Republicans had information on her. And they withheld it from the Democrats? I'm sorry, no, the Democrats had information on her and they withheld it from the Republicans.
Yeah, that was said. I don't know what it would have been. I don't think it was a big deal. Nobody, I heard that and I didn't hear it again. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Outside of that, pedophile stuff, and not being able to answer what a woman is, that really bothers me. If you can't answer that, then you...
In this day and time, it's kind of hard, ain't it?
No. No, you're a woman. I know you wouldn't have said that. Never mind. You would have been jiggling your boobs or something, saying, "John, this is."
Yeah, so some women would strip down and say, "Here you go."
Some people can jiggle their boobs and they not a woman.
Yo, see how,
I was trying not to go there.
Well, I got a vagina. How's that sound? I got a vagina. So, you know, I wouldn't have blamed her if she would have said that to her.
It's anything. Say something.
You got a penis.
Yeah, I missed all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
man.
You got somebody on line 503?
I don't know. Let me go back to my switchboard.
503. It's easy as 1, 2.
503, you are on.
Hello, good evening.
Hey,
I am wondering.
Sorry?
Yes, hi, Pianki.
Well,
and I
we
think
know
there's
how to
another voice that I
don't
recognize
we?
There, too.
My ear started to twiggle, and I say, something is bothering my ear. And I say, let me check this. And there it is. You said, I'm 503 holding.
Like a little ant crawling around in your ear.
Yeah.
Well, Bianca, I'll let
like,
you check it
honey,
away.
I shrunk the kids.
And then I thought I heard Joe too, or did he hear my voice and just hang up? Like, oh my God, I don't want to deal with her.
Right. He's
I'll
right.
always be glad to talk to you, my dear.
Oh Lord, these two know.
Well, I know here. Joe has invited me to call in several times, and Bianchi has too, and so I finally am. So thank you for inviting me. And then just so that you get to know me, my name is Lorianne. I'm Lisa the Libertarian, Lorianne. And so I'm not sure if I've been mentioned here or not. But
oh, yes.
Let me introduce you around, Lorianne. You're right in old
awesome.
Pianki. And the way that everybody sounds to me, they all sound like they have a round table seating. From the way that they sound. So I'm going to go from left to right. You're right in old Pianki. To his left, there's Danny. Danny, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello,
Daniel.
Nice to meet you.
Daniel, Lorianne, Lorianne, Daniel. Daniel, along with his mother, is our resident UFO alien correspondent, you might say.
Yes.
We do what we can.
You know.
Right on.
And then to his left is Adrian. Hi, Adrian. Adrian, Lorianne.
Hello.
Lorianne, Adrian.
Hi, Lorianne. It's nice to meet you.
And she's
good
our
to meet
resident
you too, Adrian.
Democrat.
Right.
A
and
Democrat?
Yeah.
Democrat on the show? Oh, my God.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Mind
we actually blown. Allow
equal opportunity show.
And to your left, then to my right, which it sounds like acoustically when I'm listening to the show and talking, is Don. Don's the host and owner of the show. He's been here for about 16 years. We used to have Critic, who used to be before you came on the Freedomizer show, Critic was one of the regular co-hosts and hosts. So everybody, Lorianne, she is one of my favorites. She and her co-host V, along with Jemana and Chris, you guys got to go to their shows too. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Lorianne's on Sunday,
absolutely.
At 9 o'clock Eastern time to 12 midnight. However, she and I are not talking to each other.
You
no,
get
yeah.
No animosity.
Still feels neglected.
Yeah, no animosity.
What'd you do, Joe?
Just that she's very successful in getting guests the past 3 or 4 weeks on her show. And this woman turns a half-hour freaking interview into a 3-hour goddamn interview. So I don't have any chance to call in.
Oh. So have you been banned from her show also?
Yeah, well, no, not yet.
Has Pianki been
no.
banned?
No, not yet.
No, nobody's been banned from my show except for that Portland caller that liked to call in and ask if we like to if we could bend over and lick our ass.
Yeah, he's been here.
Yeah, except for that one. That's the only person that's been banned.
Now, you're on from 9 to 12. Has Joe fallen asleep on you?
He has, I believe, once. And
right.
I had to, it was what, the only time I had to mute him because he was snoring.
See? See, Laurie, I wasn't lying. I snore in this show, too.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. More than one. Way more than one.
Way more than one.
Yeah.
I'll try to keep you awake. But I do have some news. That one of the reasons why I wanted to call in tonight is because I had a feeling that Joe would probably be on, like he usually is.
Yeah.
And so I, as of last Monday, I am no longer with Freedomizer Radio.
Oh.
I am... Lucid Libertarian liberated herself.
Mm.
So I am on my own now. I got my own Blog Talk. I'm still on Blog Talk and set up my own account and got my show set up. I've been working the last few days on getting my Blog Talk profile all set up. And before leaving Freedomizer, I downloaded all my show episodes and got all my stuff squared away, forwarded my emails, the whole nine yards. And the last couple of days I've been working on setting up all of my shows from all my past shows as episodes and backdating them and stuff. So my Lucid Libertarian blog talk profile page now has all of my past shows listed there. And so I'm going to continue with doing my Sunday shows. And for now, I signed up for the cheaper Blog Talk plan that allows for a two-hour live broadcast. But then, of course, they have that additional hour not live, but it's part of the recording. So it's still going to be a three-hour show, but for now, only 2 hours live broadcasting. And I'm going to sit and wait for the, you know, how Blog Talk has their specials to upgrade, you know, your plan. They'll have like 30% off or sometimes even 50% off. And so I'm just going to sit tight and hang back and wait for the next time they have a special come on. And then I'll upgrade to the next level up, save myself some money, and then I'll be back to the normal three-hour live broadcast. So that's my big news. You can still find me. You can still look on Blog Talk, look up Lucid Libertarian, and you will now find all my stuff on my own page, my own account, my own independent thing. So it's really a good thing. I'm really excited. I can be running my own show, and I can take off and run with it. I have, you know, like 2 hours per day, so I can... you know, rebroadcast. I actually want to pick a day to rebroadcast all of my past shows from beginning to end. And then also have like some special episodes, you know, special, you know, if something's going on or if I have like longer clips, like I want to play, you know, an hour long documentary or something that I watched, you know, I can just kind of do a special thing for people to hear that. So now I have, like, you know, time at my disposal and stuff. And, you know, V is really, really happy for me, Doll. Everybody, you know, those hosts, they're like, how you doing? What's up? I was on Doll's show as usual on Friday. She has the Alaska Patriot Network show on Freedomizer, and I have been her co-host for a very long time now on Fridays, and neither one of us wanted that to end, so we're going to continue that. And I just sort of explained that, we used to be all roommates under the Freedomizer roof, and now I've, you know, now all I've done is I've gotten my own apartment in the same complex, so we're just neighbors, you know, and we can still invite each other over for dinner. And so, and so it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. So I just wanted to let you guys know that, because I know Pianchi and Joe, for sure, you guys call in and listen. And so if you were looking on Sunday night for me under Freedomizer, you're not going to find me. You're going to find me independently now.
And well, that's 9 to 12 Eastern Standard Time?
Yeah, 9 to 12 Eastern Standard Time on Sunday.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, because I'm out here on the West Coast and in Oregon, still under dictator Kate Brown's rule for now.
Oh, oh. Pity.
Yeah, feel sorry for me. Send me flowers.
We have about 31 people in the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, push 1 on your keypad. Go ahead, Joe. I think you want it in.
I was going to recommend her show because she needs help talking. She's very shy.
I could tell.
I know.
Oh, right.
You know, so we need her support.
I'm just a little
her.
Wallflower over here.
That's true. So we have to help her to get her out of her shell. Okay.
We'll try to do that, yes.
But the thing is, and seriously, she's been so successful at getting guests for her show and making them feel comfortable enough to go the whole 3 hours, and she'll probably continue to do that she and I were virtually married. We have a virtual child, and our child rarely sees mommy, but that's
your
okay.
Your child is Pianchi?
Huh?
Is your child Pianchi?
Oh, hell no.
I'm not the baby's daddy.
That's right.
Hey, you guys are always throwing them side jokes on me like that.
Well, Joe, I mean, you're talking about our radio marriage in the past tense. And so did you decide to divorce me?
No,
or
I'm not
are you
divorcing
or are we just on a break because I have so many guests and you feel neglected?
We're on a break. No, the marriage is still sound and good, except I only see you less. But when you have a break and you don't have a guest, then I'll be able to, come by and say hi.
It is what it is.
And of course, as you all know, since she's here, she's a libertarian, thank God. So, on her show, you'll be able to talk about everything and anything. Okay.
What's the definition of a woman?
Yeah. That's a good start, Laurie Ann. What is the definition of a woman that the Supreme Court nominee should have said?
Let's see. To put it very simply, if you have a dingle danger in between your legs, you're a boy. If you don't have a dingle danger between your legs, then you're a girl.
Nice.
You have to tell biologists that, though.
and let me clarify that. Naturally, you were born that way.
You didn't have
surgery to make a dingle danger or take your dingle danger away.
Don't talk about it.
That's a sore note to guys. I mean, you know, right pointing down there and prescribe anything that might hurt.
No.
Yeah. That, I mean, it's pretty simple in my mind.
Right.
People can, you know, it's that's the definition of a woman. It's biology. It's the way you were born, you know. However, you know, being libertarian, I am not anti-gay. I am not anti-trans. I am not, you know, anti any of that stuff. You know, be who you are. That's fine. You know, be your individual self. And I will respect that. However, when there is an agenda pushed that encroaches on other people, then that's where, of course, I have issue with it. And so, you know, I am definitely against transitioned men to women participating in women's sports.
Amen.
I think that have their own sports. Women didn't really, you know, once upon a time, women didn't have their own sports, right?
Sure. Yeah.
you know, they didn't have any perspective. You know, eventually they did. Because it was recognized that there are physical differences between men and women, and therefore the two should be separated and have their own events and have their own sports and their own competitions, right? Mm-hmm. And so why can't we do that with people that have transitioned? Why can't there be separate sports there? That solves the problem. Just like, you know, I hate to compare it to Special Olympics because, you know, but they did that with Special Olympics, right? Because it's not fair to have people with physical disabilities competing against people that do or don't, you know. So why not have a separate games for people that have transitioned from one sex to the other or whatever, and therefore make it a more even playing field? Then we won't have, you know, born male swimmers identifying as females going into women's sports and winning championships and breaking women's records and
raping
completely
women.
Undermining what the accomplishments of women in the past and women in the future that are in those sports. I think it undermines the whole thing. And, you know, it's like, how can you defend women and women's sports and include people that used to be male and still have those physical differences? It doesn't make sense to me.
The definition of a woman, an adult female human being. That's how simple it is. Female human being. That's it.
Professor Daniel, then what is a female?
Daniel is going to go get a coffee. I'll be back.
Who's going to get coffee?
Me. Don.
Oh.
You know what happens when he does that? That means, okay, guys, keep on talking.
Bring me one.
Yep. Yeah, bring me one, too, for real. I need some coffee. I need a woman, too.
Well, it's good to know. It's good to know that you're going to continue on and be kicking hard, and it should be interesting. You know what we need? We need more Steven Stevel type. Stevel, is that his last name? The guy used to wear the ponytail.
Seagal.
Yeah, we need more Steven Seagal types. That's what we need out here.
God.
And I agree with you, Laurie. I don't care what these people. But let's stay the hell away from my kids. That's what I leave. Don't stay away from my kids. We trying to indoctrinate my kids with your mess. And I take it personal, too. It looks like, it, to me, there's some attempted pedophilia going on. I don't like that.
Yep.
And I carry
a
Louisville
slugger.
Yeah, I think,
you know, school is just not the place. And then age is a factor. You know, I mean, seriously, kindergartners and first graders do not need to be learning about this stuff. I know I didn't, you know.
Right.
You know, they don't need to be learning all that kind of stuff. And I've always felt like even sex education starts when the kid starts getting curious about their body and things. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't push it on the kid when they're not ready. If they're not interested in it and they don't care about it yet, then don't push it on them. But when a kid starts asking questions and getting curious, then that's the time to start answering. And I think that parents need to take a bigger responsibility in that, too. Sex education, you know, and relationships and all these things are best handled by the parents, and parents should definitely have a say in, you know, hey, you know, my kid's not ready yet. You know, my kid's only 6 or 7 years old. They don't know that stuff yet. So
yeah,
let's not push that on them. Now, when you get to junior high, you know, like, let's say you're in a preteen age, you know, 10, 11, 12. around the age that girls are going to start, you know, getting their first periods and things like that, then that's a different story. You know, then they cut, then yeah. You know, if their parents have failed to teach them about their bodies, which has happened, then that's the appropriate time for schools to do it.
And in seventh grade, in Alabama anyways, that's when they start health education. Seventh grade,
yeah.
One semester. And they teach you all that, which by seventh grade, most people know, but maybe some don't. But it's I think it's a perfect timing.
Yeah, I'd even go for, I mean, I was in sixth grade, just starting sixth grade when I first got my cycle. You know, so that's my judgment. And then, you know, girls are getting it earlier and earlier. So, I mean, I would, you know, even go into, you know, fifth grade or so to start
yeah,
it just
true.
Because
yeah.
of that factor. Because, you know, my own grandniece, she's only 10 and she started hers already. I'm like, I was floored. I'm like, you're only 10. Oh, my God. You know, like 10.
Wow. You know? That's terrible.
I was floored, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, these girls need to have an understanding about it so it's not a surprise, you know, when it happens. But, you know, that's teaching you about your bodies and what's natural and, you know, and all that. But going into being transgender, you know, and what that means and all that kind of stuff is a whole different level.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole different ball game. Entirely different ball game.
Yeah.
No 10-year-old needs to know how to put a condom on, in my opinion.
Oh.
You know?
No.
Oh, no.
No, and some of the email that Bianchi sent me, I just couldn't believe those were in the school libraries. It just blew me away. Just blew me away. Sexual guys, you know, two drawings of guys going at it. What the hell is going on in our schools?
Yeah. I mean, who snuck that in and at what time and, you know, who dropped the ball is supposed to be watching this stuff that comes in.
Well, you know, people are starting to wake up. They're starting to go to school board meetings, and hopefully they can put an end to some of this.
Yeah.
Well, that would be nice if they do. I haven't seen any progress towards that, though.
Well, yeah, they made some progress. Just showing up to raising hell. If you want your office, you know, you want to keep your elected office, you better wake up. I've got tapes of teachers bawling because I played one, this lady last week or 2 weeks ago, this teacher, female, I think it was female, I'm not sure. She was misgendered, and she was bawling like hell. Couldn't believe the kid misgendered her or him.
Huh.
Come on, these kids don't know. These kids don't know what to do, what to say.
Right.
You come in with a mustache, and you call yourself Lucy. That's kind of confusing to the kids, you know, unless
that's
you're in
good
high
way of putting
school.
It.
Well, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but
no,
I don't care who you are. You got to give a person a break.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tape of a transgender person. I don't know what the old man said something, and he was an old man. And this person just berated the hell out of this old man. He didn't even know what he said. He just, like, 5 minutes taking this, and he walked out of this where he was. It was a fast food place. And she just is on his butt. And he kept saying, I don't know what you are then. I just don't know. Well, if I'm not this, I'm that. If I'm not that, I'm this.
Yeah.
You know, when you're, he looked to be in about his high 70s, somewhere in there. Yeah, it was sad. But
yeah, there's a lot of, I'm even confused. I mean, there's a lot of adults that are confused with all this. I mean, how many different pronouns and different genders are we expected to memorize here? I mean,
right.
We've gone from two to how many, you know, 100?
Depending on what state you live in, California would be about 100.
God.
But don't forget they have a plus after the acronyms. So that means that more is coming.
Oh.
Yeah, that's to incorporate the transhumanists. You know, when they have these AIs that develop their own quote-unquote consciousness and they themselves are, you know, put into robots, synthetic, they're going to call them synthetic humans. You know, that whole sci-fi stuff is coming right around the bend. The transhumanist movement to give a bill of rights to AIs with a consciousness, like they're, you know, to treat them the same as life, as real life. And it's already, the grooming has already started. Have any of you seen the movie Free Guy that came out kind of recently?
No,
I didn't. This movie, I don't, you know, it, my gut instinct is that it's preparing us for this, because in this movie, Ryan Reynolds plays an AI that's inside of this virtual game, right? And the game is all AI. And so he believes he's a real person in this fake world. And the players, you know, in the real world, the original developer, the original code, her code was stolen, and she's kind of fighting to get it proved that her original code for the AI was stolen. And so she goes into this game, you know, with her avatar and everything. And Ryan Reynolds, like I said, he really thinks that this is the real world and that he's a real person. And he and the developer, like, fall in love. He falls in love with her. She eventually falls in love with him, even though he's an AI and she's a real person. And, you know, and, like, this whole, you know, world kind of crumbles when he realizes that his whole world is fake. But they treat it as real. I mean, it's like it's all preparing for that stuff. You know, fall in love with an AI because they are a real consciousness. They're like a real person, even though they're virtual or a robot or whatever. And so the indoctrination is already starting. And if it's not indoctrination, then it's a warning. You know, sometimes Hollywood is trying to indoctrinate us into this kind of stuff.
Or
it's trying to warn us about this kind of stuff. And sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference if they're warning us or if they're promoting it. With Free Guy, I get the feeling they're promoting it. So if you ever get a chance to watch it, look at it with those eyes. You know, it actually is it's a pretty interesting movie. The concept is pretty interesting from a sci-fi perspective. But when we look at the concept of this is a real thing. Like, they have literally taught an AI how to be a psychopath by feeding it only violent images and violent videos and things like that. They literally train an AI to be a psychopath. And that's a really, really, really scary thing to think about. Imagine that, and then you plop that into a robot, or that AI gets out and inserts itself into one of those, you know, robot police dogs that were running around New York and stuff.
Right.
You know, imagine what that kind of stuff can do. And But there was also another really good show. It was only on for one season. And I'm still really mad that they canceled it after only one season. And, what's the name of it? Why am I blanking out? But it was about an AI that gets loose into the internet and starts killing people. It's a homicidal AI. And it was only on for one season. They actually, even less than one season, I think. It was literally canceled after only its third episode, even though it had a lot of listeners. There's a lot of fans of the show. But I think it was too real. And the reason why, see, here's the timing. Here's my conspiracy theory thing. Sorry to dominate. But this show was canceled right when the solar winds hacking was just being discovered and coming out. And so they continued the episodes that they had already produced, and then they just ended the show after that. And I think it was like it was too real for, you know, it was way too real. We're way too predictive of what can happen. So I think it was shut down for a reason, because the timing is uncanny with the solar winds hacking transpiring and being discovered right around that same time.
Is Melissa here?
No, I recognize that at Kathy's house. Daniel.
Oh, that clock, dead gum clock, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, about your house, Daniel? Oh, okay.
She's got about 20 of them, yeah. I like them, though. Tom. That's something we could talk about.
I'm trying to remember the stupid name of that show, and I loved it. I was so pissed when they canceled it.
So do you think, you talk about AIs having a consciousness. Do you think that's possible? I don't.
Oh, I
do. Not a consciousness like real humans have, but I do believe that they can. That's what they're being trained to do. They're trained not to just be programmed, but to learn for themselves, to think for themselves. We literally have had drones by the military being used that are AI. And so there's no human at the controls to decide, you know, when to drop the bomb on them. The AI decides.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally happened. I'm not making it up. You know, it that's how scary it is. So imagine if you have an AI that's been trained to be a psychopath, that's all it's been exposed to, and that AI ends up inside one of those drones.
I see where you're coming from.
Talking about, Daniel, and I'm with you on that. I do believe that AI, just because we're a carbon-based planet, doesn't mean that other life forms can come from inanimate objects. I think they did an experiment some years ago, a mini robot or something, and it before AI, and it was shown to have survival instincts. So, and another thing, when you feed AI, and AI is going to be more tremendous than people can actually imagine. Right now, China has a computer, which is the second fastest computer in the world, and it runs at 64 quadrillion. Operations per second.
Oh, nice.
Okay, 64 quadrillion. That's 64 million.
God.
So it's not million. I would make it sexton. But the thing is that all the energy that will be faced or fed into AI with its ability for machine learning and to reprogram itself, it's very possible for it to become a conscious sentient being, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, it might not be the same kind of consciousness that we think of when we think of our own consciousness. But, I mean, they, if not already, they will be a consciousness of their own. And that is why there's the push to protect them as if they are real living, breathing, conscious being. And have give them a bill of rights so you can't just kill them off, you know?
Well,
you can't
even
torture them and things because they feel pain, quote-unquote, you know,
just
stuff
unplug
like that.
Them.
Yeah, I already talked about that. They've already thought about laws to protect sex dolls, not even AI sex dolls.
What?
Yeah. Laws
it's
to protect Pongo. Sex dolls. So in other words, you can take a bat to your TV set if you're mad, but you can't take a bat to your sex doll.
Oh, my loins.
All right.
I can't believe it.
You know, using AI, we making fortune. Laurie trading cryptocurrency in Forex.
I have not gotten into the whole crypto thing. I need to
you
have
should.
Like a serious sit down with V and
V's an investor.
You
that.
Should have a serious sit down with me. The hell with them guys there. Well, there's programs that do 3% a day, but for sure I do 3% a week.
Right on. Yeah, that's I would
compound
you know,
it.
I wish that I would have known about it like when it first came about, when Bitcoin
oh,
first
no.
came about. I
see,
wish I would have known
see,
about it back then.
You're looking at it the wrong way. It's trading today's prices using the fast speed of artificial intelligence and algorithm. And it works. And it's about average what it does manually. It's about 3%, 5%. And you can do hundreds of trades within a certain time period, and all that adds up.
I see what you're saying. I've never understood what you were talking about, Bianchi, until right now with that trading.
And conservatives
works.
Need to get into this stuff because they always trying to do things without any damn money. I mean, that's...
yep.
And make that dollar stretch as much as it can, yeah.
Well, absolutely. You need to get into involved in these things that's going on, take advantage of the advantages that you can have, then... It leaves you free from other things that's taking up your time. You can spend more time countering what's trying to take your liberties away from us.
Yeah. I know that's right.
Yeah, these are very scary times for sure. I mean, it's just, you know, they want to eliminate any ability for us to, any kind of wealth at all. That they can't shut down. You know, once everything is digital, then they can shut it down on a whim.
Yeah, that's game over right there.
You know what's scary? When Adrian started talking about bioweapons and other elements and topics of the day, that kind of mirrored what conservatives were talking about. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Somehow they replaced Adrian. Where is she? Oh, she must have dropped. She must have gone to get some coffee.
I'm right here listening to you. You can just keep going.
Oh, okay. I'll just talk like you're not here, Adrian. So, so when you were talking about the virus and you know, you thought of it as a bioweapon and everything, I'm thinking, is that Adrian that comes to this show? It's the Democrat, and I'm saying. Because your viewpoints pretty much are ours. We are very worried about the
future. Exactly mine, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to explain to you that I am not really, yes, I'm a Democrat, but I'm not really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really any of that.
Okay.
Okay.
I remember you telling me you're not a liberal.
We have a thing here in our state where you have to declare one or the other. And if you're this one, you can't vote in everything.
Mm.
So,
yeah. Yep.
So I am listed as a Democrat, but my mind, because I'm really scientific, I have a scientific thinking mind. Okay? That was my basic education in school, and I started in science, studying science a lot when I was about 7 years old. So I kind of think a little bit out of the box, I would say.
Well, that's another way that they are, and I say they, I'm talking about these people that could fall under the banner of the deep state or the globalists or the cabal or they going after the kids, the education.
I truly believe that myself. I have always thought that. That was the reason that we taught our children at home. Yes, we sent them to public school. We tried to send them to the best of the public schools in our area. But we taught them at home and would tell them, now, don't you go to school and argue with your teacher. Come home and ask us. You know, because we had all the textbooks and everything there. Where we could show them in the textbooks.
Oh, cool.
And this is the reason why I'm trying currently to go to buy old textbooks so that you don't lose. You're losing a lot of your history.
Mm-hmm.
People are changing the way things are said. If you notice, just look at something as simple as the names of different countries. Okay, I know that you can look at an old Bible and get all the original names, because that's the way that I taught myself geography. When, you know, when I was in elementary school, by looking at the Bible. They had maps in the Bible. And so now a lot of those names of those countries have changed. So it's they're always changing things.
Indonesia.
Certain people's narrative.
Still there? Yeah, still there. I was going to just say, too, that, yeah, there even, there was some, like, fundraiser or something that they literally removed. It was for, like, you know, space exploration type of event. And they erased the name of the first Russian pilot that went up into space.
The cosmonaut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Canceling him because he was Russian. And it's like, here we go.
Right.
Let's rewrite history. Let's forget it, because now Russia's the bad guy again. And so now let's totally forget that the first person in space was a Russian.
Right.
Totally denied.
You are absolutely right. That's the same thing you've heard me complain about with doing away with statues of American soldiers. Yeah, there they go. Just because he fought in one particular war, let's disregard and forget about all the other wars that this person fought in.
You know, this statue thing, I'm kind of in agreement, sort of. Those statues need to be around in museums.
The bad thing is that when BLM and Antifa was doing that, and some people think that it was Trump supporters doing it, but I doubt it. They were also tearing down not just Robert E. Lee, but they were tearing down Grant. They were tearing down, I think there might have been a statue for Harriet Tubman. And they were tearing down statues, of course, of Jefferson and Washington because they had slaves. But they also started tearing down statues of Martin Luther King and another civil rights advocate, I believe. So they were, their stated mission was to have, you know, equity, equality, but their real mission was just to be destructive.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell you there was a statue here in our city of Dearborn. of the mayor that he had been mayor there for, I can't even tell you how long. His name was Hubbard. And Hubbard was really, he was a terrible man, but he was good for his people in his city. Well, they finally moved the statue. The statue, you know, no one tore it down or anything, because now the city of Dearborn is integrated. Hubbard tried to keep it from being integrated. And they moved it, like I said, to a museum here. I want to say they moved it to like Greenfield Village or something. They have a house or something there. And that's good. Do that with those statues. We should, everybody has somebody that they admired, and another group of people won't admire them because of things that were done in their past or what have you. But they still, they're a part of history, and you still need to know about them.
That's true.
That's good.
Everybody,
yeah,
I got to take this out and continue on. I'll be back.
Okay.
But, you know, it was a group wanting to create a statue for Clarence Thomas, and folks came out against it. You just got some evil-thinking people nowadays. It wasn't public money. It was going to be a space in the park, like you say. But they against a statue for Clarence Thomas. That's why I get back to the thing and Joe say I'm Al Sharpton. No, these black folks just as racist as anybody else. Racism has no carte blanche on skin color. And really, anything, you drop a banana peel and now you can be called a racist. So the definition just evolves.
Yeah.
And changes as time goes by.
Well, this is why I say, you know, put those statues in a museum, close around a museum. You cannot, you know, we need to know the history because there's history behind them, whether we like it or not. But
and I think that museum should be all over
the
place.
Stop the lies,
yeah.
Though.
Museums should be held all over the place. People complain that poor kids can't get to the museum. Well, have a museum over here and then have one over there. It's enough content that can be contributed to the museum.
Well, you know, I don't understand that because, you know, I thought that I grew up poor. I didn't think I was rich. But our school and school system used to have field trips.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you get your little permission slip. It costs you $2.
Mm-hmm.
And they would take you to the, here they, in Detroit, they would take you to the Art Institute. You went to various different, whatever museum they had. I mean, you'd be gone all day. You know, you take a bag lunch, or most of the time you took a bag lunch. I don't think you really bought lunch there. But
they don't want to take you on any field
trips.
They don't want to take any field trips now, Adrian, because once you're inside the museum, you start seeing a guy on a bike and a mask stealing all the ornaments and the artifacts and and riding away with them.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Well, I know, like my oldest granddaughter, the middle one, even. I'll go back to the middle one because she's 19 now. You know, you had to, of course, you have parent involvement. and they had to do a police report on those parents that went on the field trips with the children.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did go on field trips. And you know, see all of this history. I don't know.
I want to ask Daniel, I want to ask you a question, because you and your mom, you like to take a look. I forget the name of the other site that you look at, to take a look at the flights going in and going out.
Yeah, MonkeyWorks.
MonkeyWorks. Have you seen any flights that indicate the troops leaving America to go to the Ukraine?
Yes. Well, I don't know about going to the Ukraine, but these specific troops, it was he knew when the 82nd Airborne, well, we all did. They told it on the mainstream media, and it was the truth, believe it or not. But the 82nd Airborne was sent to Eastern Europe, and I believe they ended up in Poland, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah.
But now, as far as the Ukraine, now, I don't know about, you know, being sent to the Ukraine, but now Eastern Europe, we did send troops to Poland, and it was the 82nd Airborne. And he did mention that on MonkeyWorks.
What are you going to do to fight the Russians?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I they're still in Poland. I mean, you know.
United States do not want to get – U.S. do
right.
not want to get into a
no.
war with Russia.
Hell no.
Oh, you know what? That's a good thing you just brought up, Yankee, because you'd be surprised, I think. I forget exactly what the numbers are of the poll, but a distressing number of Americans do not care if there's a war between Ukraine and Russia. But there was another poll taken after they told them what the repercussions would be to Americans if there were such a war. And all of a sudden, people just weren't all gung-ho about, you know, having this war anymore.
Russia could overrun the Ukraine in a week. Hell, they got an army of about 2 million men.
They could have done it in a day.
Yeah. This stuff is going on a bunch of bullcrap behind.
They could. You don't think they could have done it in a day?
Oh, yeah, they could have done it. It's being drawn out for some reason. And Putin's got – and, you know, here's the thing. News from there is – they wouldn't report – I mean, I say they, CNN and the mainstream news wouldn't report anything accurate on what Putin has in his mind and why he – and if what you made description of about these Nazi groups – and the Nazis were defeated by Russia, and of course the United States. But
yep.
Russia was doing a damn good job. Stalin did not want to enter into a war with Hitler. He couldn't believe when he was told what Hitler was planning on doing to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a lingering Hatfields and McCoys sentiment
mm-hmm.
that lies there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, the Germans, for sure, we all know this. I mean, when they did invade Russia, oh my gosh, 12 million Russians ended up dead. That's all I know. People want to talk about 6 million Jews. Well, 12 million Russians ended up dead. That's all I know. That's the real number.
Yeah, you think these people don't forget this?
Exactly. Exactly. Slaughtered, man. Slaughtered.
Heck, if every time you heard a bell ring, you felt a slap upside the head, well, wouldn't you be jury every time you heard a bell ring from now on?
Mm-hmm.
There's a Russian professor who says that the conflict between Russia and Germany was as much responsible for the end of World War II as D-Day.
Yeah.
And not only that, you know... See, the longer this go on, everything began to come out in the wash. And
yeah.
The smells of Joe Biden and the cronies around him
yeah,
like
yeah.
Barack Obama.
Yeah.
it smells of him. And I'm saying, if you look at that, the overthrow of the last Ukrainian president, Yanukovych, who was supported by Putin, overthrown by the CIA. Hell, you had seen the talk of people being drawn off roofs and things of buildings. Well, you can see that this guy, Zelensky, sees an opportunity for himself to receive all sorts of aid that would end up in his and family coffers. That's the same thing that goes on with these Taliban and these other groups over in Afghanistan. It's these tribal
yes.
leaders that's getting rich off of that stuff. Same thing you see in Africa. These tribal leaders get rich off of this stuff. USAID for having access to whatever, and they get paid.
We did the same thing in Syria, supporting the Free Syrian Army. Well, you know what? They sound like they're a good bunch of guys, the Free Syrian Army, but they were nothing but a cruel militia. You know.
You know. You know what I read recently?
And they end up with all the weapons and stuff. It's crazy, right. man.
That the United States, despite all its bluster about how it wants democracy spread around the world,
mm-hmm.
it supports 73%. Of the dictators around the globe.
I mean, think about that. Oh my
73%. That's why they're sticking their nose in everybody's business. They have, you know, they have a monetary interest in all of this nonsense.
Well, yeah, it's these corporations, these groups like the LGBTQ and all that. They love to get into Russia and have access to all those young, tender young women.
Oh Lord!
Hey, I'm not hearing Lori, so I'm guessing she must have dropped off.
No, I'm still here.
You're still here. All right.
Hello,
I'm
Lori.
I'm just listening.
Oh.
Hello. Still here. I dominated the conversation there for a while, so I just sort of stepped back for a little bit there.
Hmm.
So what do you think about the Ukraine, Lori?
It's really hard to know what to think because we really don't know what the truth is because of all the propaganda. It's so much propaganda. So much. And the truth tellers out there, or at least the people that are trying to tell the truth, you know, I just, this whole, like, if you don't support the Ukraine, you are just a bad, evil person, and you need to
yeah.
be canceled, you know, and, you know, but people don't understand that, you know, there's a huge history with the Ukraine going on here. A lot of it Nazi sympathizing, and, you know, and so there's a lot of history that people are being pushed to ignore. You know, not everybody that is our leaders in the Ukraine are, you know, pure-hearted little angels. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's some bad folks there. And they are operating more like a dictatorship with limiting, you know, they're just doing their own propaganda. They're limiting the news. Trying to censor everything and you know, the whole thing, like, one after another, like, you know, how much do they have to do that's like a dictator regime until people start to go, well, hey, you know, why are we throwing so much support behind it here? And, of course, it's all about money. It's about money and power. It's all about China and Russia wanting to undermine our U.S. dollar as the petrodollar and devalue it. And the Ukraine is at the heart of it because of their resources. And you're not supposed to talk about how many bio labs the U.S. is funding in the Ukraine. Not supposed to talk about that. As Tulsi Gabbard found out. Not supposed to say that.
Putin's also talking about only taking rubles now for oil instead of the petrodollar.
Yep.
And you know, when you're talking about the truth, we don't know about the truth. So, Adrian, it's a good idea for you to collect those history books. I have one, a world history book that I've kept since I was in high school. I found it actually, and it was published in 1955. And in that world history book, I've told people this, is that it outright says that the United States was an imperialistic nation.
Yep.
You won't find that in any history book in the last 20, 30 years admitting that.
No. Mm-mm.
Of course, it also says that China and Russia was too, but they're right on all three fronts. All three of us wanted to conquer the world along with, you know, Soros and Rockefellers and Rothschilds and probably other families, other very, very rich families, the names of which we don't know, but who do control us.
Mm-hmm. Just to let everybody know, it's snowing and freezing like hell outside. Just to let you know, me and Otis are in the house.
Is it?
Yes, colder now. Wind blowing, snow blowing.
Wow.
It snowed last night.
Where are you at?
Right outside of Flint and Durand. Freezing my butt off.
God.
Why?
Yeah, I don't miss the days when I was born and raised in Minnesota. Moved to Oregon when I was 23. And I do not miss Minnesota's reluctance, you know, like the whole 70 degrees one day and then 2 days later it's 20 degrees and snowing and you get a blizzard.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later, it's back up to 60. I mean, the whole back and forth used to just totally mess with our minds. You know, like, yeah, it's spring. Oh, wait a minute. Not anymore.
Yeah, they used to start.
Don't put your shovels away yet.
Baseball 2 weeks on the road and come back, and the Tigers would open up with them opening day, and it'd be snowing in Minnesota back before they had the dome.
You just reminded me of something I wanted to tell you when I first got on the air, but of course I forgot. Was that, Donnie, you are like the Lou Gehrig of Blog Talk.
Lou Gehrig of Blog Talk.
Well, Lou Gehrig was known for having, you know, for being in the major leagues and up at bat, you know, all those consecutive times, you know, Iron Man. So you've been around for many a year without missing a show. I know for the last 3 years you haven't missed a show.
I haven't missed a show that I can remember. And Daniel and I were talking about it today.
Yeah.
And, he remembers me doing a show down there in the hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
When I got to Alabama.
I did one from your kitchen table, too, Daniel. By the way.
Oh, I must have been out partying that night.
You were gone.
Well, did you go out with one girl, Danny, and come back with another like you did that one other time?
You know, I mean, I had one bring me home because I could. Because the other girl took me to the bar and she
people
went off.
People have sex in a car, too, Daniel.
I don't know anything about it.
How they do it in these little
you know what Danny's saying? It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Back when
I
was
dead,
we had bench seats.
Mama's probably listening.
Hey, if she's listening, Kat, get on the phone.
She's not.
She's not listening.
I went through all the phone numbers.
Tell her, tell me said hi.
I will.
Because if she's not here, we all know why.
Well, there she is beeping in. I guess she is listening. Hang on. Y'all hang on.
Okay.
No, she's not listening.
Hey, I had to go look to see if it was snowing.
Is it snowing where you're at, Adrian?
Well, I'm on the southern end, close to Ohio.
I know.
And, it's not snowing, you know, it's that blowing
medium flake stuff.
Yeah.
You want me to tell you what that having sex in a car is good for, especially a Volkswagen? It's good for getting a damn hernia.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
And I can tell you from firsthand experience.
I totally thought you were going to go in a different direction than hernia. But
I did. Too. I did.
I got a hernia from that. It calls a hydrocele. It calls a hydrocele.
Yeah.
That's when the fluid go in your testicle and don't come out, and your testicles get as big as a damn grapefruit. Remember I told you that time I was in the hospital in the examination room, and the doctor said, I'll be right back. He left out, and I'm standing there naked with these big balls.
Damn.
Door open, and about 7 or 8 interns walk in, men and girls and boys.
So they can look.
Yeah, he said, now this is the case like we were speaking on the other day.
Sex in a Volkswagen. This is why you don't buy
in my balls.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, I could tell you some stories about you men and... Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you said you men, because I was just waiting for your story of in a Volkswagen.
Well, I worked at the VA. I worked on a surgical ward. The only patients that we could have on that ward were men. And boy, oh boy, I learned a whole lot about men's health from the waist down because it was a urology floor.
Oh. You were lucky.
Did you have fun?
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't so much fun. It was... but a lot of things go on.
I would imagine.
Well, I bet you were anxious to get to work every day.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it was a real interesting job.
Yeah. All you had to do was just put
them
your hands.
All sizes, all colors, everything.
Mm.
I can tell you some things.
Yeah. I can just see Adrian walking into the room playing a joke and saying, okay, guys, I got the tape measure.
Oh, no, I didn't need a tape measure. I'm a seamstress, so I can measure without a tape measure.
You see, I couldn't have lied to you.
I'm pretty good at eyeballing measurements as well. I got to say, it's a flyer
junior high.
You can look at something and go, no, that's not 6 inches. No.
No, that's what a man does not want to hear.
Yeah, it's like you lied.
Yeah, well, you call me a liar, but you're not going to tell nobody because you know what you'll be called. So I know you're not going to tell nobody. So I just went on to the next one and lied.
Yeah, I was only put out of a room one time by a young veteran because I was only 18 at the time. And so he said, She can't look at me.
She's too young.
Yeah, well, I guess he had other thoughts on his mind.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He was playing
this
baseball.
This guy had kidney stones, and so I had to keep a check on him. him passing these kidney stones. And he didn't want me looking.
You don't want to get
larger
than you want. You have to be.
I guess that's what it was.
Yeah, I know.
But I was like, okay, no problem. You know.
I hear that is so painful, passing stones. Oof.
Yeah.
And, you know, they look like little bitty breadcrumbs.
With sharp
they're not big.
Some
they
of
cause,
them
you know, they give you the medication to break them up. Oh, boy. Oh, that's sad. It's got to come through the urethra tube, and I guess they're kind of jagged.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's jagged, all right.
Yeah, But you,
yeah, it's
you
like
pass
like
and
half
look
a,
at them, you
a
said,
piece
damn.
Of rock salt or something.
Yeah, they're smaller than that. Some of them, the majority of them,
yeah.
They'd be real tiny. And
it doesn't
say,
matter how tiny it is. It hurts. All right.
It's causing all that problem. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, Lenneman's had kidney stones. Oh boy.
Hey, wow. Back in the day when you had a certain type of course, they call it gonorrhea. We call it a clap.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You go in a doctor's office, and he make you stand up next to the desk and put your penis on the desk and smack it with a rubber mallet.
No.
Is that true?
No.
And they did what with a rubber
mallet? They smack it.
That's supposed to measure your knee reaction, you know, when the rubber mallet
yeah,
is supposed
right.
to use, like,
yeah.
You know,
no,
it affects
you
your nerves on your knee. Yeah,
you have the calcium and stuff for me.
Leave it to
get
Adrian.
Get the kink out of it.
Penis talk.
Mm. No, they were. No, but what he's talking about is actually pretty close to reality, because when I was in the service, you got a certain type of gonorrhea. I forget what they call it. Filipino gonorrhea. You had a very, very painful experience because they had to take the... Never mind. It was painful.
Oh, you know what they had? Because I went through this. They had those... You think they have swabs now to go up into your nasal cavity trying to get COVID? You should have seen those swabs they put up your urethra opening on your penis.
Ah! Oh, yeah.
And they was metal. It wasn't
that's
Q-tip.
What I'm talking about.
It was metal.
I'm surprised that's not the preferred method of China to do their PCR test.
Okay.
They do it up the butt.
Yeah.
The first time I
why
had
not the penis all?
The first time I had a prostate exam, it was a woman doctor that done it.
Okay.
And I bent over, pants down, bent over. She knew what she was doing.
She did.
She go up there so far, then she started lunging with her hand.
This for last. This guy.
Oh, thank you for the audio.
And the visual.
It helps with the visual.
Yeah.
Row, row.
Yeah. Like Roto-Rooter.
Let me get you frosted. Row, row.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I knew people who suffered as a result of that gonorrhea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Priyagi's right. Oh, they called it a clapper weapon. Nobody was clapping.
That's right. Nobody was clapping for you.
The preferred penicillin. Maximum strength penicillin.
Yeah. Yeah. They
give you that first penicillin. You know, you usually get penicillin shots in the arm, but back then they give them in the
butt.
They
hit for the butt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Longest ass needle.
Mm-hmm. With a big bevel. That means it's a wider needle. The hole is bigger.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when they drain your knee of fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I would never, ever want to be jabbed with a needle like that. Like, I'm not really afraid of needles, but you put a needle in front of me like they do to pull out some of the amniotic fluid out of a woman's womb or something, that they put it right through the stomach like that. That just makes me cringe so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes. Those are long. And, mm-hmm.
Like,
well, I tell you what, them needles... If they use to take the fluid out of your knees, they just long, seemingly. You wonder where in the hell it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's why our health is very precious, man. We got to take care of it because what's coming down the pike, we all have to be healthy in order to fight it.
Yeah.
Not going to be pretty. because I think everybody here has a kind of dystopic future in their mind. I know I do. And I've felt that if America lasts for the next 2 years, we're lucky.
Without a revolt?
Without an economic collapse, yeah. A revolt, maybe yes, maybe no, but without an economic collapse, food shortages. I wasn't even concerned about the war.
No, I'm thinking about uprising, civil war. This will be the worst civil war they've ever seen.
In what way, Adrian?
You cannot take people that have lived a comfortable life, and all of a sudden they cannot afford to eat. Oh, man. I'm just talking about just that part. They can't afford to eat.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford to get a hold of their own money.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 'cause what I'm looking at is the government totally taking over and trying to control every aspect.
Absolutely.
And that's a scary thought.
That's what the digital currency is for. In order to control our finances, we won't be able to spend cash. We won't be able to withdraw or deposit anything at the bank because they'll have our account numbers. And all of a sudden, you find out, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, but your account has been canceled.
Right. Well, you know, this is why I was talking about that electrical grid. You know, when the power goes out and it comes back and all of a sudden, well, you don't own that.
Well, you know what they do now. If you got a dispute with a creditor,
yeah,
that creditor can go in your daggone checking account to take their money. I had their problem with a burglar alarm service, and I canceled them.
Okay.
And I said, well, hell, I just get me a new debit card. And next thing I knew, they got money out again. So I went to the bank and I said, what's going on? They said, the card is tied to your checking account.
Uh-huh.
So I had to change that in order to stop them.
Yeah, there are scams. Well, what happened to you may have been legitimate, but there are scams going on where they sell you something, and then they tell you you can cancel any time, but then you try to cancel, you can't, and you get mandatory withdrawals from your checking account. Excuse me, from your checking account.
It's like those timeshares.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah, now that's a mess there.
Yeah, see, that can go on to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they have doctors that are lawyers advertising that they can get you out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got out of one.
Oh, you did?
Not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You got out of a timeshare?
Yes, I did.
How'd you do it?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you do it?
I had a lawyer that took care of it. Mm-hmm.
They've got three major law firms that are advertising on the radio.
Here's the other thing that I did, too. Because I had over $10,000 in debt, so I filed bankruptcy.
Mm.
And they were in the bankruptcy.
Yeah, yes. One technique.
Oh, yeah, I got rid of them. As far as your checking account, you can go into your bank and cancel an automatic payment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that
stops them from being able to take funds out of your account. You don't have to change your account number. But you will never be able to pay them off of that account again. But that's okay, because you want to be rid of them.
Well, if it's an automatic payment from your bank to theirs, yeah. But if it's an automatic payment whereby they have the right for withdrawal, that's going to take a little time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bank of America stopped them and gave me my money back.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me quite a bit of money back, going back a few months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really stay up on my checking account because I had somebody was taking pennies.
Pennies at a time.
Yeah, pennies add up, or pennies can add up real quick. Mm-hmm. And I kept looking at my statements and saying, what the hell is this penny? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we got on the phone. Matter of fact, the person that I spoke with at the bank called the company. And it wasn't pennies. It was like $15, which I just consider pennies. But anyway, she called a person, and they were talking about, oh, yes, she signed out. I ain't signed shit. I'm just sitting there listening. And she said, well, you have to stop and desist this immediately. And how much money are you going to be returning to Ms. Slaughter's account? And the money came back. Yes.
Okay, that's good. I was watching a couple of days ago. There's a guy whose mission in life, apparently now, is to scam the scammers. And you can go to YouTube on video, and he puts on video his conversations with scammers. So it's interesting how he lets them know he knows that they're scammers. And one guy, he knew his name, he knew his address. Yeah. And they cleared out that particular call center the next day. He said, I think the guy's name was Emmanuel. It says, Emmanuel, you're on the 11th floor of the, I forget what building he mentioned. And you've been doing this for years, and yada, 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 yada. And the guy that owned the scamming firm, he heard the tape. He goes, get everything out of here.
Yeah, we got to get a move on it.
Yeah, and he cleared out on one day.
You know, I'd like to know how you get on the dark web, just to see what the dark web was. To me, that would be interesting. But
I have a bunch of like tabs open because I was curious about that too, and I just haven't dug into it yet. But I did find like a bunch of links, like, you know, what is this dark web? How do you get into it? What is this all about? Kind of thing. And so I literally have a separate window that I've had open for quite a while now with all these open tabs, because I want to actually research this, and I'd actually like to have it as a topic on one of my shows sometime, talking about the dark web and what is it and what does it do and how do you, you know.
Yeah, I would like that. I would like a show like that myself. I would like to hear, you know, go to a show
like
that.
It's like the regular web. Instead of www, they use a different sign, and once you know, once you're on the inside, you know what that particular sign is. You just navigate it like you do the regular web.
Wow.
They have dark web websites on there you can just go to, and just like any old regular website.
How did it get started? We know www, and then you've got the dark web. Now, whatever that is, you know, how did it get started?
By criminals who wanted to keep anonymous and keep out of sight from the authorities.
Do you think the FBI, CIA type people started it and it just spread?
I wouldn't be surprised, Donnie.
No, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, I would not be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's possible. That's definitely.
That's you know, they hire the best hackers, you know, instead of sending a hacker to jail for, you know, hacking into a government agency or something. Instead of throwing them in jail, they recruit them. You know, so the best hackers in the world are usually recruited by agencies like the CIA and other intelligence agencies.
And they do that in Las Vegas, too, casinos. They hire the ones that they caught cheating.
It's a good method.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who better to know how to cheat than a cheater?
Yeah.
Yeah. Better to catch another person cheating than a cheater.
I like to learn CODA. I would like to learn assembly language.
What language?
Assembly. It's similar to C++, but it deals directly with the CPU. And you make, for example, let's say you have a program, and as a result of the program, you create a file that does what you want it to, an .exe file, and it's 360 megabytes large. With assembly language, you can create the same type of file, do the same operation, and it would only be maybe about 12 megabytes.
Right, you compress it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not compressed. It's just better coding. It's very tight. And it deals directly with the CPU as opposed to going through Windows or through an OS.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I see. Yeah, so it's like specifically running in like the memory and the CPU and not requiring an operating system like Mac or Windows or Linux or something to run it.
Yeah.
Just kind of like how you can boot to a USB. Make it bootable and have run a program and that kind of thing. You know, back in the old days, like the DOS days.
Yeah.
And like in the DOS days where you run it and it's not.
You don't worry about
the
Windows
on the operating system.
Right. So it's very tight coding. To get an example of what some, I forget the name of the site, but he has a site up in which you can check whether or not your website is open and vulnerable to hackers. I forget the name of it, but he does everything in assembly, so that's what got me interested in it. Otherwise, I wouldn't mind learning C++. That's pretty good, too. But it's so, to learn it yourself takes time.
That it does. I mean, once upon a time, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, I used to do websites back in the day when it was, pretty simple. And, I did a few. I did it for extra cash or whatever, and it was pretty basic. And, I got pretty good with the HTML coding and a lot of times, and all the programs that are supposed to help you with building it and automatically generating the coding for you, it's so bloated, reading all the coding. And I'm like, if I just do it myself, I can remove all this bloat and have it run more efficiently kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so I kind of equate it the same way. It's just a different programming language. But you've got to learn a language. It's a totally different mindset between all these programming languages and, different ways of doing the same thing. And they, have different terminologies that you got to try to figure out and all that. And, and website building nowadays is, like, completely different. It's definitely not the same kind of thing it was 15 years ago.
No.
At all. In some ways made easier, but in other ways also a lot more bloat, a lot
That's
more
true.
Extra coding that really doesn't need to be there.
When I was in college, I learned BASIC and Fortran. That was fun. But now, of course, the programming is way more sophisticated.
Yeah, it's been so long ago, I can't even remember.
Yeah, but talking about bloating, I mean, the larger the hard drives became and the faster the CPU speeds became, the more careless developers became, and they weren't as tight as they used to be. I had, my first computer was only 24 megabytes large. 24 megabytes. That was the hard drive. And everything was
in I had a 40, and I thought I was on top of the world.
Right. And I had a bunch of programs on that computer. It wasn't sophisticated until 95 came along with multitasking, but it was still nice.
I remember with word processors, you wanted the next line of text to be underlined. You had to put a code at the front and in the ending of this string of text in order for it to print out underline.
Yeah, I was never into line command. I was glad when Windows 95 came along, so everybody, you know, me in particular, could use a GUI, which was decent.
You know, before there was Word Perfect, there was all kind of stuff, man. Lotus 1-2-3 was a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I
remember that.
Yeah. I used MyCal. Not MyCal. Easy As I used. It was good. I liked it. And then, of course, Excel. And you can't beat Open Office, though. I mean, it's free, and it's just as good as Windows.
Yeah.
Office 97.
Yeah, as Microsoft Office. Yeah, that's what I used, and the price was right.
Yeah.
It'll open up the files. You can save it as the Word documents
that's
and whatever. And you know, and it's free, you know, but, you know, there are some quirks to it, of course, you know, but you get used to it and you learn it, and it really isn't that much different.
It isn't.
Than using Microsoft Office products.
Right.
Then they had AOL that was charged about a damn minute. If you accidentally went to sleep and woke up the next morning, you owed them a lot of money.
Oh, I avoided AOL like the plague. Oh, my God. I hated AOL. Just I didn't have it myself, but being like a, you know, computer tech person fixing computers, AOL was just, it was worse than some of the worst malware. It was like malware. If you installed it, you could not get rid of it. And it was so bloated. It was just crazy.
Does anybody remember how much their first computer cost?
Yeah.
Mine was $2,300, and the printer was another $250. I think it was $250, but it wasn't even a gigabyte, right?
Yeah,
I think,
a gigabyte.
$525. I never heard of a gigabyte. Anyway,
yeah,
I didn't even know
line.
How to turn it off. I had to call my ex-wife to find out how to turn the damn thing off because she had one. And I bought Prodigy.
Yeah, I remember that.
The AOL. Oh, there was another one, Prodigy. There was three of them I bought. I thought you had to have all three different ones. They were all different. So I figured, oh, I'll buy all three. They're all different. Who the hell, they're the same thing. Yeah, you know, just get you online. And then you hear that noise.
Do you remember when, if you were in business, if you really wanted to have a fast connection, you had to take your phone and put it into a modem?
Yeah.
I remember that, too. Yeah.
Wow.
I
worked in the office at the truck plant and had to do that.
What were the baud rates that they were looking at? And when you made a connection, it
was a fax machine.
Shit.
All right. Nasty. I remember in Carta, I thought that was the greatest thing for kids.
That was for
encyclopedia.
Like library?
Yeah, encyclopedia type thing. Great. My kid stayed on it. So. It was really nice having those. Then I taught his class, one hour, it was computer class at the Styrene Elementary in Swartz Creek. I taught for an hour on those little kitty apples, apples. Yeah. That's about all I
remember
back in the day with those little kitty apples.
I had dial-up, and it was the download speed was like 7 kilobytes a second.
Well, that's all we had. When I tried to get a new picture up, it would take 40 minutes to get this damn thing up. By the time you got her navel, you were done looking, man. You were tired. Hell,
man.
Oh, man.
I still have my old floppy disk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, floppy disk.
Yeah,
I still
have all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, geez, I remember those floppy disks. One of my first jobs.
The 5 1/4.
Yeah. I mean, one of my first jobs when I was a receptionist, and I worked in a tech department as a receptionist. And one of the projects I was given, when they came out with a new update or new version of their software, I was the lucky one that got to sit there, and each copy took like 14 floppy disks in order to copy.
Yeah.
So that was my job. So I had to, my job was like sitting there all day, in addition to answering the phones, copying all of these disks, and we, you know, for several hundred customers. And it was the most tedious thing. And then, of course, getting interrupted with a phone call, then I'm like, okay, what fucking disc am I on right now? You know, like I lost track. Like, shit, did I finish disc 10 or do I need to start disc 10? Shit, you know?
Joey, you're talking about hard drives. When we used to back them hard drives up with those discs. Then they came out with the 3.5. You need about 100 3.5 to back up a hard drive. Good gracious.
Oh, God. It was, I didn't even bother back then. I remember when I was given a computer from my old boss, and Windows 95 came along with it, and he helped install it on the computer. And it had like 12 disks in order to install Windows 95, because every disk was only 1.2 megabytes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1.4.
Was it 1.4?
No, 1.2. Yeah, that came to my mind. You're right. You're absolutely right, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, mm-hmm. I remember those days too.
God, we those pioneering days. I was so glad when I got DSL, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still looking really awkward to see.
You know, the automotive companies gave us computers and printers.
I'm glad yours did.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Our mothers didn't give us no damn computers and printers.
As rich as GM is, they're very poor compared to Ford, because Ford gave all of his employees computers.
I knew I should have went to work for Ford. Damn.
But we knew it was something behind it, though.
Yeah. That is nice.
See, GM sucked all the way around.
I got a damn watch. Every few years, I got a watch or a jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, and talking about I remember there was a friend of mine. She bought her first computer for $5,000. I bought mine for $1,500.
Wow.
And you bought yours for $2,300. And I couldn't believe, though, you know, when the computer prices went down to like $400.
Right.
Holy.
Yeah, you can get a huge computer now for $699, $799.
And they're more powerful than a Cray supercomputer was back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 23-inch monitor to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Big as your TV set you used to have in your bedroom.
That's right.
Yeah, I got a TV now, which I'm going to have to learn how to work it and see if I can use it for my computer.
My sister's got one. She just will not. It's got the internet, and all she has to do is pay for internet, and she won't do it.
Mm.
She got a phone she doesn't know how to use.
Mm.
She knows how to call me and bug the hell out of me.
That's what brothers are for.
Yeah, that's what brothers are for. Listen to bullshit.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, those good old days with the floppies, and I'm saying I looked at them as a marvel of engineering. They could bend, and you could actually put it in on your computer, and they could actually you can actually get information from it, put information on it, and then the hard disk came along, and I knew, well, the floppies, they're going the way of the dodo.
So we're going to enterprise ourselves out of our own country and life, so we know it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm afraid of, and that's what they're doing.
What'd you say, Don? I didn't hear you.
They're all this technology.
Uh-huh.
Is this going to screw us out of our country?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to take over. They're going to get rid of the money. It's all going to be crypto, and they're going to be in charge of it where they can push the button.
Well, you know, I'm gonna tell you something. They're not going to control crypto, I don't think. Y'all need to learn that. Laura,
I was trying to figure out.
And I'm going to tell you, I use these trading platforms, and honest to goodness, I got my kids involved, others, and these, they trade the Forex, and they trade cryptocurrencies like Bitcoins against others.
Uh-huh.
And the returns is average about 3% a week, compound.
That's damn good.
That is good. But the thing
and
is,
there's
yeah.
some that's doing a little bit more elaborate. They are average 3% a day.
Damn.
Overall.
Well, great idea.
So y'all need to learn how to do this stuff. I mean, just think, if you put $500, some of them have $500 if you put in. You got cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, sitting there doing anything with them. So if you fund that your account on there with $500 worth of Bitcoins or $1,000 worth of Bitcoins,
mm-hmm.
and every week you gain 3%, how soon do you think it would take for that bad boy to get up to an extraordinary, you know, sum?
A very good sum of money. It wouldn't take long.
No, because you rule 72. But besides that, now, Bianca,
rule 72, you're absolutely right.
The thing is that in the free market, yeah, but in a collapse, which we're talking about, forget
it. Nothing's going to happen, Joe, I'm telling you.
A lawyer in Florida that has a show every Tuesday night on Twitch, I can sit mm-hmm. you guys up to listen. He swears by it. I mean, he's been invested in it. He's got other people. He walked, you know, I don't know if he could do it all on his radio show, but he'll tell you all about how safe and how they cannot and will not mess with crypto. And he's made a ton. He's
okay.
A lawyer. He's made. He believes in all that.
Well, again, it's all about the free market. I think one country, Venezuela, banned it. And another country adopted it. Look, governments make the laws, and the laws do whatever the governments want them to do. If they say you as a citizen, you're not going to have access to your crypto account, you're not going to have access to your crypto account.
Well, they can't keep you from accessing. I tell you what, you have a conversation with me on the phone, I'll tell you how it's done. And they can't keep – and see, a lot of – See, here's the thing with Forex. You're trading against other countries' currency.
Mm-hmm.
And now with this one platform I'm involved with, a Texas resident can't do it. So what my Texas people do, they use their cousin's address over in Georgia or out in California. But $1,000 at 3% weekly after a year, that gives you your future investment is over $4,700.
Mm-hmm.
And if you leave that in and go another year, then you're talking about over $20,000. Then suppose you set this up for each child you have, a grandchild.
Yeah, that's nice
and
money.
You don't have to go out and talking to people in auditoriums like you do with multi-level marketing, unless you want to. And this particular one, the fee to trade it is $25 a month until your account gets up to $25,000, which the example I gave with 2 years of trading at 3% a week with that initial investment of $1,000, after 2 years, your account is up to $21,630. Then another 6 months, you go over the $25,000 period. But you should learn how, and just like I told Daniel, if you take a picture of a UFO, then digitize it and put it on the, you know, where you can do a NFT, which is a non-fungal token,
mm-hmm.
Well, somebody may want to buy it.
Yeah.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question, though. My name is Hitler. I'm in charge of the United States. I have now commandeered every resource, every bank, made laws that are as draconian as I want them to be. Now, you tell me how you're going to access your cryptocurrency with me in charge.
Well, first of all, it's not a bank, I don't think. It ain't a bank of America.
How are you going to access your cryptocurrency?
They can't do anything to it, Joe.
They can't what?
They can't. The government can't do it. The only time the government can get involved is when you go to change your crypto into U.S. dollars. In the scenario I gave you, you take those coins, the $25,000 worth. Now, only thing that does happen in volatile markets, the value goes up and down. But the coin itself, you can put it on a what they call a cold wallet,
yeah,
and put it in your pocket.
I'm Hitler. The free market is no longer in existence.
And
how are you going to access your cryptocurrency account when I don't want you to?
With your address?
Are you going
with
to
your own?
Huh?
With your own address. That,
if I don't want
they to, can't decipher.
They can't decipher it. All right. Okay. I know that Roosevelt took all the gold coins during the 30s, and I know he wasn't supposed to be a dictator. I know one country, like I said, either Venezuela or maybe another country, they said no cryptocurrency in this country. And there's another country that took that adopted cryptocurrency and got away with cash.
Well, you know, saying no cryptocurrency in this country is like the state of Texas saying that they don't allow that to go on in Texas. Well, people in Texas, when they register with their cousin's address in another state. And then they can be in their bedroom in Texas and do their transactions as if everything was copacetic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sort of similar to people putting money in the banks in the Cayman Islands or something like that.
Well,
similar,
in essence, it
like
is,
that,
but it's
okay.
Not because your money is in your pocket. And,
okay,
for instance, when I send, I go to Coinbase and I buy coins,
uh-huh,
that I want to deposit to fund my trading account.